Warren.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Yes, it is winter, and it's usually the coldest part of the season, but what much of the nation is experiencing today, it's hardly normal. The highs in 35 states will be below freezing. ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z says that's
the wind chills 20 below in Chicago, Detroit 18 below, but this stuff stretches today all the way to the Gulf Coast, and that's why we've got numbers like Brownsville, yes, and a wind chill advisory in Texas at 24. So the wind chills this morning are impressive.
This last
Warning that continues until noon today is a real problem for the city. The issue here are the overpasses and bridges that are blocked off today because of ice on those roads, and because of that cold are delayed until at least noon today and canceled in some parts. They're telling families if they don't have to be out on the roads to stay home.
Well, the summer seems to be that company CEO is thinking in an exclusive interview with ABC News because Apple is planning to make more products in the U.S. In an exclusive interview with ABC News, CEO Tim Cook said, along with making that in Houston.
We also announced that we've been working in Arizona. We haven't said what we're going to do.
But when you press the button, you see the world. You can hold one to take
a shot on
the patent application indicates the involvement of sapphire for a touch screen, citing its ability to reproduce. In keeping with Apple's famous secrecy, Cook also refused to say when the iPhone 6 might come out and whether it'll have a trigger screen. Karen Chase, ABC.
Steady?
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Honey, I think it's time.
Well, they started to
the boy.
Jimmy, soccer practice.
Dad, can I borrow the car?
Hey, nice try.
Thanks. Want to go steady? No battery lasts longer than an Interstate. And the new Interstate ATM lasts up to 3 times longer than the competition. To find a dealer near you, visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Watch what happens when I need something efficient. Save my laptop.
Office Max has laptops, tablets, and printers that are perfect for you.
And why is
this
important?
Office Max has most brands of
ink and printers
at a low price guarantee.
Okay, I'll go.
Right after I clean up one box.
Office Max has flash storage, so it's easy to keep on the road.
On the 10th anniversary of the
Atlantic. This metric roamed around the Martian surface for 3 months, checking out places, water, rocks, whatever. That was 10 years ago when the Mars rover Opportunity is still on the moon. Still, it's getting a little old, enough said. 6 years, 2 instruments stopped working a long time ago. Getting on, getting a joint, and its flash memory is in the surface of the moon. The first test on this day in 2004, how many weeks after the day was killed?
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Now is a great time to make the switch to a new Ford. Experience the sleek, fuel-efficient Fusion. See your Ford dealer today for a test drive and get your own for only $199 a month. Visit DriveOneOhio.com.
Report
black and white. Office Max has most major brands of ink and toner at the lowest price guarantee.
Okay, I'll go.
Right after I clean up my phone.
Office Max has flash storage, so you can be productive on the road.
If you want it for your business, you'll find it at Office Max. All at great prices.
Well, there's a lot more Office Max.
A
Afghanistan may prevent you from living the wrong world. In a very wrong world. The most common form of gout affects millions of Americans. Gout attacks, which some describe as feeling like a severe burn, may occur when uric acid levels build up. Without ongoing management, gout may prevent you from enjoying life's physical pleasures. Learn more about managing this chronic illness at www.goutliving.com. This message brought to you by the
featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Little Rock's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600 WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
The Savage Nation is heard here on News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And good gracious good morning here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. It is absolutely freezing out here in my area. This is Morning with Tracy and Friends and me. And what's your, I know you from somewhere, man.
Hey, I came in off the street. You left the door open, and I'm looking for a warm place to go here.
I have a derelict attorney here, and he's coming in here to sit in and offer everything because his name is Mark, and he knows everything.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, my thermometer over here says it's -1.
It's
outside.
Still -1. It was -1 last night.
It's cold.
All this morning when I woke up, I couldn't sleep after 6 o'clock, and I woke up and just was awake.
But the sun is shining.
The sun is shining, and so it's warm somewhere in the world, I think. So I want to talk to these global warming people because they're not making it warm fast enough, doggone it.
If you look at the forecast going forward into next week, it's going to be going down to -13 or 14 here on Monday night or Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I didn't. You know, sign on for this.
Neither did I.
I thought, you know, we live. I know we live in Ohio, but I mean, this is beyond the pale.
Hey, man, I'm not feeling this.
I come here looking at this AccuWeather forecast over here, and I see these warning things over here. What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm supposed to drive to Warren tomorrow night. Are we going to have?
I hope it does. I hope everything's cleared out because I got to play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I need to get paid, man. I need to get paid.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. This is crazy here. But speaking of Warren, you just talked about Warren. That's interesting because we have in Warren right in our area, if you want to talk about unions and things like that, in Warren we have a plant closing. Yay! No, we shouldn't be clapping.
Hey, you know, that's a real tragedy over there with that.
That is.
That's just really bad.
That is. Because it doesn't make any sense that the plant is closing. It didn't have to close.
They had a vote on that. The union had a vote on that for
mm-hmm.
some concessions. When was it? About 6 months ago they had the vote last
mm-hmm.
summer. It turned into a generational thing. My goodness, they're making light. They're making lamps over there. General Electric was making light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many plants in the United States are still making light bulbs? And, you know, there's a whole slew of reasons why they closed these, GE closed a lot of its plants down in the country, including the light bulb persecution when they said you can't use that. But here they got a plant, and GE says, we'll keep it open, but here's what we're going to be able to do salary-wise.
Right. and they had to make cuts because the new light bulbs cost $1 billion, and they can't afford to pay you $1 trillion to make the kabillion buck light bulb that nobody really wants to buy yet. And so they had to cut the salaries back, and they said, look, we'll keep it here, but we got to cut these back. The union voted to say, no, we're not going to take that. And guess what?
They're gone. They showed the guy with the lunch pail walking out, closing the door last
yesterday.
She's
gone. Oh, now, where's everybody going to go from that? Those 200-something workers, where are they going to go and find a job that even if they had to take a pay cut, they would still have a freaking job?
And, you know, that is a mentality that has been in this area for a long time that thankfully is dying out. You know, it is going. I think that's probably going to be the last vestige of it that we have in this area over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my Russian teacher, when I was studying Russian.
Stoeta.
Yes.
Where
is it? Yeah, Tauruski Isik of Pittsburgh Universitete. Yeah,
okay.
Caught a show. So anyways, my Russian teacher who, and you know what, I'm not going to go there because it's an ethnic joke.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that. But the punchline.
We'll be in jail tomorrow, man.
The genie they found on the beach popped out of the bottle and asked the guy that found the bottle, I'm going to grant you one wish. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy at the fountain of the bottle says, my neighbor has two cows. I want you to kill them. And, you know, and that's the mentality that was here. We would rather have nothing than you have something.
Thank you. Well, here's the thing.
I got that joke when he told him. This is the guy from St. Petersburg.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Russia.
Yeah.
He was my teaching me Russian.
Not Jaeger.
Huh?
Is his name Jaeger?
No.
My high school Russian teacher, believe it or not, I took a year of Russian.
Really? Honest
I have two
God.
Years of French, 1 year of Russian.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You can read the Cyrillic alphabet?
I cannot. I cannot. I forgot every bit of it. Because what's that that looks like the K? That always confused me. I just never get it. Now, my grandfather spoke 4 languages. Yes, he could speak Slovak, he could speak Russian, he could speak Spanish, and something else, some other of that area of the country,
yeah.
Countries over there, because they were all in the mill together.
Yeah.
And third grade education, but he could speak it. If you go to downtown Struthers, Ohio right now, you could talk to some of the people that have been around for a while.
Sure.
And you'll find out, you know, hey, did he... Mr. Wakefield, he could do blah, 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 because he could. My grandfather was a tough man.
That's a real talent to be able to do that.
To be a linguist.
I think I have 4 years of high school French and 4 quarters of college French, and I can say hello and goodbye. It just doesn't
I can
stick.
Do a little better than that still, but when I was in France about 4 years after I graduated, 5 years, because I was there in 79. Yeah, 5 years after I graduated, and I could get around with it, man.
Yeah.
I was all I needed was that little Berlitz book.
Yeah.
And then I was good, and all my buddies, oh man, Jeff knows what to do. Let's go with him. So, we were all over the place. We had so much fun in that city.
That was the day of the ugly Americans way back then, when we didn't treat people in foreign countries very nice. My
mm-hmm.
wife and I went up to tour around Quebec's up in Quebec province, up in Canada back then, and. I thought I was a little smart ass because I was able to, you know, speak some French and read it. But you know what? I just wasn't in the mood, so I call up to make the hotel reservation. And we didn't have internet back those days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guy answers, bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur.
L'hôtel de la Montagne. And I said, hey, l'hôtel de Montagne yourself. I need a hotel reservation. He wasn't too happy with me on the other end of the phone. I'm lucky they let me through the door.
Now I heard that. Oh, no, Steve. Steve, you better go ahead because you're not going to have much time.
You getting ready to go to a commercial break?
No, you're getting ready to get hollered at.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, what I had to say is that the reason why I be talking about that one religion is because, as Jesus said in the Bible, he said that,
that the unions were going to mess up the whole area and nobody have a job?
No, they had nothing.
Oh, okay.
To do that, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, during the time of NOR, people were eating and drinking and marrying, and they took no note. What are you trying to say, man? Well, I'm trying to tell you that we could be living in the last days, Jeff.
And what does that have to do with the union pulling out a Warren?
Well,
I mean, not the union, but the GE closing the plant in Warren because the union said they wouldn't take any cuts from the.
It's just like I'm saying, Jeff. I mean, we're not taking any notes.
Don't say we. Just say a lot of people aren't because I'm taking a whole lot of notes. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now because, yes.
I understand about the union.
Hey, Steve, let me cut to the chase. We're in the last days as far as what the Bible says.
Right.
We were in the last days from the time Jesus ascended, okay, after the resurrection. Now, as it goes, the last days could be 2 days from now, 2 minutes from now, or 200 years or maybe more from now. We don't know.
We don't know,
and we're not going to talk about that religion because I don't agree with that religion because it has nothing to do with what the Bible says. Okay, so now I know that because they make their own Bible, and I know the real Bible. How about that?
Well, Jeff, like you read in the King James Bible.
I don't read just the King James Bible.
So you read all of it?
Doc, I have read the Bible cover to cover several times, and
right.
I study. Wait, listen. I study every single day. I am in the Word, studying something in the Word. That's why when people ask me questions, I can answer them. Because that's what I've done since 1978. That's my thing. But the thing is that's me. I can't put that on anybody else. I know where they're wrong at, my man, because I know where they've made up their own stuff. Like Satan was thrown out of heaven in 1930-something or whatever that is. That's craziness. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it was way long. It was before creation of us. That's when he was thrown out. The Bible tells you when he was thrown out. So somebody make stop. Well, when him and a third of the angels were thrown out before we man were created, okay? Because they used to own this, and that's why the earth is way older than 6,000 years old. It's probably billions of years.
That's how long we as humans been on.
Absolutely, that's true. That's right, and so therefore. I'm not going for the other stuff and all the stuff that people don't know and don't study because they don't, you know, they follow it as a religion.
But Jeff, those who are Afrocentric.
I could care less about those.
We as the Afrocentric people believe that we have probably been in existence more than 100,000 years.
Well, no, they don't have any 100,000 years worth of history. And
because we look at the pyramids and how long did
they the pyramids haven't been there 100,000 years. The pyramids show 10,000 years, but that's on carbon dating. But we're not going into any of that. I know when the pyramids are real. I know who built the pyramids. Now, by the Bible, mind you, because the Bible tells you. But if you don't read it and study it, you don't know. If you don't learn what original Greek is and original Hebrew and original Aramaic. And you don't study from those points of view, you have no idea. So we're not going into this anymore, Steve. Thank you so much for your call.
Another reason why I called, Steve.
Uh-huh.
It's because, I mean, you know, one would say there's a just God. Why does he permit so much injustice and suffering?
Because it's our fault.
Put an end to that. Stuff,
well, he's going to, but the thing is he gave the earth to us. He said for us to do it. Now, if we don't do it, because that's why there's a scripture that says when good men remain silent, evil men prevail. You know that? Did you know that was a scripture?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, that's a scripture. And guess what? You look it up and find out what it says, but when good men remain silent, evil men prevail. Because men were given dominion over the earth, men are in charge of the earth, all of it, and God is not, in a sense, he still is in charge of us because he owns us, but at the same time, he's given us dominion over the earth, didn't say anybody else had dominion but us.
But you ever think that he allows this earth to function just because he's ripe and...
What does that have to do with the union?
How do we get from unions to religion?
Yeah, that's my fault. But, Steve, listen, you're asking all these questions. If you want to do this, come down to the station. You can sit in here with us and hang out one day.
Oh, yeah, I will do that.
Okay,
and,
you know where it's at.
Diva down there, too.
Yeah, Diva, I, she ain't around today, but she might be there.
She's not going to be around today?
I don't know. I don't live in her house.
Mean,
I don't know where she's going to be.
Yes, she is. She do get that, upset because y'all continually cut her down.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we had a prayer break there, so everybody please forgive us. Everybody please forgive us because we're about to go and pay some bills here in a minute. I'd love to see what my man is saying up here. 74% of the people say we're still in a recession, and the people in Warren voted down having a job.
Well, the people in Youngstown and Girard
voted to keep their
job.
360-something people voted to reject the union coming into the new pipe mill plant over here in Youngstown, Girard area, which was an excellent idea, and 140-something voted for it. Well, you know what, 140-something, why don't you all quit and let 140-something other people get a good job and so that they can provide for their families.
You know, the shock with that Valerick thing wasn't that it went down. It was the degree that it went down. That was a major move, 370 to 140 or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. They thought it might lose by 10 or 20 votes.
No, we lost
Holy
a whole lot.
Smokes.
We'll be right back after these messages. We're going to pay some bills.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment.
Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends in the morning now. Mornings with Tracy and Friends.
My time is all screwed up.
No, man, me too.
I used to be able to do Tracy's show, then go home, have a drink.
No.
Now I got to go to work. No. That's no fun.
What was that martini you were drinking at one time and I was teasing you?
Oh, that's Grey Goose and club soda with
it
stuffed
was called,
olives.
But what was it called?
Oh, I don't know. The dirty martini.
Something martini. It was a
dirty martini.
D martini. I was saying that you were talking to D martini at the bar.
Yeah, I tell you, I love those things. In fact, I had a couple last night, but that's another story.
Hey, listen, we like playing out at your place now. we'll work with you on everything, to get some more of those.
We're moving forward. We got a new manager coming in. We've got new people coming in. This is real exciting out there right now. But I want to backtrack a little bit to what we were talking about the last thing about the unions. I got to tell you, now my wife's a union member, and she was vice president of her union for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And sat on a couple of labor negotiations. And, I we're from Northeast Ohio, and we're proud of everything that we have up here. And we're also proud of our labor unions,
mm-hmm.
who have done an outstanding job in looking out for workers' rights over the years,
no
coming
doubt
back
about
from
it.
A time when it was horrible.
Yes.
And the standard of living that we have and our way of life, a lot of that is owed to the unions who have come in and really done a good job for the workers. I think the issue comes down to is that in modern times, in 2014, the role that the unions need to play, and the kinds of abuses aren't there anymore, but there's still stuff that needs to be addressed.
I think some of those abuses are, because I needed to backtrack some too, because I don't want to seem like I'm anti-union. Because I'm not anti-union. I'm anti when they overstep their bounds.
Yeah. And that's for anything, both whether
right.
it's business or
government,
or the unions or government.
Or anybody. Because
yeah.
when the government, because I don't like some of the way that the people are treated at the local call centers.
Sure.
I think they need a union.
And you know what? And when you look at the cost of labor in other parts of the country, I would hope that our unions could go into some of the developing countries and do for the workers what they've done for the workers here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go into Vietnam or into China and get those people up to a living wage, and they aren't. I mean, you go to these communist countries that have turned capitalist, keeping their communist government. China, Vietnam, those countries,
mm-hmm.
and you look at what those workers are paid. It's close to slave wages, and I would hope that the unions would go into those areas, get those people a living wage, get their wages up to where they need to be, so all can share in prosperity.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Because the governments won't do it. Somebody's got to go in there and do it. Nobody does it better than them.
Our middle class, as big as it is as big as it is because of the unions.
Yeah.
Because they raised a lot of boats, even though all the boats didn't deserve to get raised, but some of them, a lot of these people were very productive.
Yeah.
and they did very productive things, and the union worked with these companies and got it done.
So here's the end result of what the unions have accomplished. You look what happened at Vallourec. That is probably the best example of union success, because it got management to treat the workers in such a way that the workers don't feel that they need the union anymore. And,
right.
And that's a success story. And like I said, there's a role. The unions have been diminishing in the United States, but I'll tell you what, other places in the world, there's a major role for them, and I hope they take up the challenge and go into these areas and help these guys out that are working 70, 80, 90 hours a week, and they can't move from here to there, and they put the shower in there. It's bad. And,
big problem.
You know, and all that so we can wear $10 jeans here in this country. You know, that's no good.
Big problem, though. Not going to happen. This is why. Most of those countries are socialistic countries.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, they're not going to allow certain things to come in. China certainly is not going to allow a union really to get in. I hear GM has somewhat of a union over in China.
Yeah.
But when the government owns 51% of the business.
Sure.
Because you can't own anything less than 50% of a business.
Yeah.
The government is always going to, 49%, excuse me. Government is always going to have the controlling interest in the business in a country like China and any other communistic country. The socialistic countries, this is what the people here were hollering about. Well, the wages in France are higher than the ones here.
Yeah.
Do you know how much money they take out of the people's paycheck in France?
I hate to think.
I think it's something like 60%.
Oh, I can believe that.
Because of all the socialistic things that they do. So understand something. They're paying you probably about even with what they're getting in France if you're working for Vallourec. Vallourec is providing something here, and it was so stupid for them to open up and ask for a union before they built the pipe threading plant.
Yeah, that.
Because now what are they going to do? They're going to have to consider that again.
Yeah. Everybody needs to sit and act in a reasonable manner.
Right.
And take a look at the big picture before they move forward. That's government business and the labor unions. You were talking about China. And you look at China, which is a communist nation, and it is still a communist nation. And I don't care what kind of capitalistic under things they got under the surface. This country is run by a single party, and that single party it pretty much controls the shots as to what goes on.
Right.
It goes to show what happens if you take this movement, this you know, takes a village idea to the nth degree, because that was supposed to be the workers' paradise.
Right.
Now
right.
You want to look at income disparity and income differences. They talk about the United States. Go to China and see how that works over there for those folks.
Yeah.
It doesn't. They got people still over there bent 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week, bent over picking rice, and then they got to go home and work on top of it.
Wait a minute. This is what I watched a documentary on China where there's this plant, and this plant hires a year so many people.
Yeah.
Only women. They
okay.
send the women away from their homes. And, you know, somebody has a daughter. Their daughter, just like my daughter's at school, well, they send this daughter to this plant to work where they give her a place to stay. They give her three meals a day, you know, or how many of her meals they give them.
Yeah.
And then they give them X amount of dollars a year, but that money goes back to their family, and they only get a few dollars of it to spend.
Yeah,
is that slavery?
And they don't. Health care there is bad. It's across the board. So
you're right.
Our liberty and our freedom in this country are valued items, and it provides us a means for balances between all the competing entities in this country, as opposed to relying on the government. Well, if you rely on the government, go to China and you'll see where it'll get you.
Where it gets you.
Where it gets you. And I'm looking here at my my pad, my tablet, and it's minus 4. The temperature's actually gone down here.
Oh, no.
And I'm looking at next Tuesday, a high of minus 7 coming off of a low of minus 16.
That can't be
here. That's here.
No, we're not going to stay in the minuses three days.
Yeah, that's what it says right here. I'm looking at my long-range forecast over here.
Where are the global warming people? Let me talk to them.
Quick, let's go burn some carbon.
Yeah. Local caller, you're in there.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Auntie, how you doing?
I want to go back to where you were talking about your grandfather and the languages that he spoke.
Yeah, are you a witness?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is this. Your grandfather came from a little island outside of Charleston, South Carolina, in a little town called Utahville.
And that's where it is.
There they speak Gullah.
Gullah.
Mm-hmm. However you want to pronounce it. But it's a mixture of English and African language.
Mm-hmm.
There are still people down there that speaks that language because, you know, my son lived in Charleston, South Carolina. And when I went to visit, I would go down there to visit every year. His wife's mother was one of the Gullah people, and she knew the Wigfalls. So I got a chance to go back out on the island and meet some of your family.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is we are a race of people that came here when they brought us here from Africa. We couldn't speak English. We never had a tutor. We never had anyone to instruct us. The only instructions we had was if you didn't speak the language, they'd beat the hell out of you. So we learned how to speak English without a tutor or without anyone else. That's why your grandfather was able to pick up the other languages, because he was used to doing things like that. And like you said, you took up French and all those languages in school.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't even remember them. And all we have been trying to say is if you teach African kids, African descendant kids, how their history, they will go back and see the genius of our people, even during slavery. And they will be able to learn a whole lot better. That's all I have been saying. Because without any instructions, we came here, they called us heathens because they couldn't understand us. But we had a language. We had a language they didn't understand. Just like when they brought the Italians here and Syrians here and other races, they had to open up schools. Pearl Street Mission was one of those places where they came, so they taught the Italians how to speak English so they could work in the mills.
That's right.
And so I'm saying that given a chance, given our kids a chance, you know, we get everybody's history but ours. And if our kids knew their history, they would be a whole lot more interested in going to school, because with me, I went to school in the South where I was around my history, and right now, you know, I got books and books and books on Black history because I am interested in what happened with my parents and my grandparents.
Right.
And it makes me study more. The more I study, the more I want to know about who we were before we came here and was made a slave. That's all I had to say.
Well, I thank you for calling, and that's absolutely true. Thank you, Auntie, because that does say a lot for what people have gone through and still survived. The fact that I'm able to be able to sit here on the radio today goes back to the sheer tenacity of Black people in America to survive and to become something more than what people told you you were or what you could become, because that's a lot of what's going on right now, because we were totally redesigned as culturally, because they made sure we didn't practice any of our culture. And they made sure we couldn't speak any of our languages. And they made sure that we didn't remember anything about where we came from on purpose, because then it's easier to control you. And so appreciate what you said, because that is absolutely true. You've been a union person all along, and, you know, I'm pro and con on the union. And what do you think about this vote that just happened over here at Valoric where they rejected the union, 370-something to 140.
Are you talking to me, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I think is, like you said, we are, I think they're trying to put us back into where we were before the unions came, where they could control the wages, because this country is going into a time where we're going to have just rich people and poor people. They don't want the middle class because you had too much control over what was happening. So they're going to put you back to a position where you either have to take the wages they give you or you don't have a job.
Well, that's going to have to work like that, but it's not because of they just want to do this to you. Business has to compete on a worldwide frame anymore.
Jeffrey, you know, it is the mindset that they have given the people because, you know what, some things you see on television you can believe. Some things you see on television you shouldn't. I have a friend here live in Youngstown. She's 93 years old. Her son, he was a teacher up at MIT in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
and they laid him off because of, you know, when they cut back with the schools and all, and the subject that he was teaching, they didn't need.
Hey,
I'm Harper
Keegan
with your headline news. After 25 days without a head coach, the Browns have hired Buffalo Bills.
As you can get. I have no problem with liberals. If you don't want to control my life, you want to live in another way, so be it. But the progressive wants to control the government. And this is what people are seeing. I really, truly believe Democrats are now starting to see that Barack Obama is doing exactly the same stuff that he did with George W. Bush. They've not been able to fully say it yet, but he without sin cast the first stone. Did you say it when you first saw it in your party? When you first saw it with George W. Bush? When you first started seeing things, you're like, okay, wait a minute. Or did you just go and defend them? Because, no, it can't.
Go ahead.
Okay, Jeff, what I was saying was her son went to China. And he was teaching English over there.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 years, he stayed over there. I think somewhere over there, they have a monument they put up for him. But anyway, he said he made more money there than he made here.
Well, of course.
And one of his friends came to visit him that had been working over in Saudi Arabia on the oil lines, and he talked he talked him into going over there, and Edward went over to Saudi Arabia, and he's making even more money over there than what he made when he was in China. But he said his problem was if he comes back to the United States, they will tax him so much that he would not have the amount of money he has. So he's getting ready to retire, and he's sent over here, and his mother asked me where she could go to get the death certificate from his wife that died because he needs that for his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's planning on buying a home or somewhere overseas because his daughter is grown. She's in finished college. She got a job out in California. So he said he don't think he's coming back here because if he comes back here, the way they will tax him is he will end up with half the money that he's got now.
Oh, yeah.
So he's planning on staying over there. So, you know, this is a person that I know personally. So I'm listening to what he say, then I turn on the news and I listen to what the news say, and then I get to thinking, like you said, it's the unions that are messing up the job market here. But if you remember, the unions here have been getting paid, so they have all of this money, and who knows, maybe they're selling out to the people who don't want the union. You never can tell.
Well, a lot of that may be going on, but you can hang on for a second. Alabama, you're in the air.
No, I got to go, Jeffrey. I'm
okay.
On my way to the doctor.
All right, sweetie. God bless. I'll see you later.
I was listening to you, and I happened to go. You were talking about unions, and I just went through a fast food restaurant called Crystal's. I don't know if you guys got it in Ohio, but
no,
kind of like White Castle. Anyway, I got this little sunrise sandwich.
Oh,
I got me a couple of sandwiches.
You ever eat a Wright Castle burger, Mark?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I'm afraid. I have a hard time with onions. And they put a lot of onions on the White Castle burgers.
It's mixed into meat, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, man.
But anyway, I go through, and the girl was kind of rude on there's no service, no customer service, no nothing, right? I go through the drive-thru. She doesn't see. She sticks her hand. She's full, too. Sticks her hand out, nasty attitude. Of course, she's black. You know how that go. Give her the money. She, I pay her. She don't say a word. She stick the receipt out, hand the bag out, don't say a word. I check the bag before I pull off. She, like I'm mad. She's mad because I'm checking to see if she gave me the grape jelly like I asked for, right, from a sandwich, which that I paid for. So I started to think. I said, you know, I was listening to you talk, and I said, you know what? Some of these people do not bring value to the community. She would be the first one that would get out there and complain if somebody said, hey, we're just going to automate these fast food restaurants. We don't need y'all. Y'all fired. Go. She would be the first one putting up poor mouth about she can't take care. I'm sure she got kids, just the way she was built. I can't take care of my kids. I can't do this. I can't do it. But when you have a job, you don't take it for – you take it for granted. You treat people a certain way. And that's just like with unions. I feel like the unions were needed in the times of the Rockefeller. People were dying daily. I think we unions have gone a little bit too far, if you ask me. There was a time when they were needed, but I think now unions, that's why Detroit is destroyed. That's why Detroit is bankrupt, because unions have destroyed business. That's why this country is struggling right now. People are coming. A lot of these car manufacturers are coming south, and now here come United Auto Work. They're trying to come down here now, and they're putting up billboards down here telling people not to join them. They're trying to come down here. They're going to run this. You get out of high school. You know, you get out of high school. You don't have any talent. You go to a factory. You start out at $12 an hour. By the time you're 22, you're making $30 an hour. You stay out there, and then, but then all of a sudden at 40, they shut the factory down, and we're supposed to feel sorry for you because you never really chose to better yourself. I'm sorry. We got to stop feeling sorry for people and ask people to raise their own standards of themselves and what they expect from themselves so they can provide value. If you don't bring value, all you can do is stand up there and push a button. Don't expect, $90,000 a year when you can't go get that. If you can go somewhere else and get that, then that means you have a skill or a talent. But if you can't do that, then you don't deserve it.
Believe you me.
And if they shut down, don't act like you are old or entitled to. That's why I don't like unions. I don't.
Well, I'm not against unions as a whole. I'm against, like I said, when they go overboard. Because
what's good about a union right now, today?
Well, you don't have – Every large company is not going to be good to their people.
If you show up to work in a safe environment and they pay you what they tell you they're going to pay you, what else do they owe you?
Like I said, just what you just said, in a safe environment, all types of things, giving you the right machinery to get the job done, all types of things. There's a lot of things the union does do to help the people. And including training, certain types of training and things like that to make sure that their people are ready to do what they need to do. They're necessary evil because everybody's not good. Just like every worker is not a very good
worker. I understand what you're saying, Jeff, but I don't think that is a necessity. That's something that they have to take of themselves. Like, I'm in IT. I have to spend my own time and energy learning on my own to be better, to be more marketable.
You work for yourself or you work for somebody?
Well, yeah, I work for myself, but at the same time, I can work for a company doing the same thing.
Well, that's what I said. You work for a company.
For myself, technically, but
right.
I mean, I do
I was
work
say,
as
well,
a contractor.
Right. When you get off work, you're going to be able to still do what you do during the day and make a couple dollars on the side if you wanted to. So my point is, I understand that. That was just you preparing yourself, just like any other professional. My point is, when you go to a union, unions, they do protect people from things that management does. Because I was in a union for I've been several unions, but the one I was in was for state workers, and believe you me. Sometimes you get a boss and a supervisor that does not respect people or the union. I mean, or the rules, and they will overlord and they will do whatever they want to you. And that is something you need a protection from because.
Listen. As far as protection along those lines, I won't just go that far because I've worked with some a-holes myself. But what I'm saying is,
precisely.
When it comes to salaries. When it comes to, okay, well, we're going to walk out if you don't pay us. Like in Chicago, we're going to walk out. We're making $70,000, but we need a raise. We're going to walk
right out.
$70,000
yeah,
is actually pretty good.
Hold on, Stanley, you're going to be next. Go ahead, finish that Alabama, because I'm going to let Stanley come in.
No, I'm just saying, for the life of me, most people in this country don't make $70,000. Okay, let's look at this. So they were going to walk out. And they're making $70,000. Then you listen to the lady that's over the union up there on a government. Look, if you want to have a union for a private business, fine. Run business out and go fend for yourself. If you want to run them out of business, fine. But if you want to run when the government, you really work for the people. So there are certain things that they should be limited to with these unions. These unions shouldn't be saying, hey, we're going to automatically pay when you got a high school diploma, we're going to pay you $80,000. I'm sorry. Unless you can go get that $80,000 without working with this union, then you shouldn't be getting it, because now it's really inflated and you can't make that money nowhere else. And let's be honest, it doesn't go to minorities. A lot of this stuff
about
unions, are racist. A lot of unions were racist in the past. Go ahead, man.
Well, no doubt about it. No doubt, and a lot of them still are, because, you know, I'll say it. There's a skilled trade that my cousin was in. He passed the test he was an excellent worker. He passed the test with the highest marks that they had ever had anybody pass the test with, but they never put him on full time. And I'm not going to mention them because, you know, they're friends of people here, and I'm just not going to do it. But he passed that union test. They never gave him a job, and I'm still pissed about that. And I have a right to be pissed, and that's indignant pissed. Okay. Stanley, go ahead.
The problem, I disagree with Alabama. The problem, like Tracy said the other time, is we need to pay the people what they deserve. And I'm sorry, the union is there to protect from that, because like you said, many owners don't care. Many owners will take you like you are nothing for them. So if they have to pay you $30,000, even though they made $1 million of profit,
I'm not with you.
A lot of owners will take that profit, keep it in their pocket, and not treat their employees and not pay their employees what they deserve, because they think in their mind, I did the business, I own the business, I could do whatever I want, and I don't care about my employees, but they forget to tell them, if it wasn't for your employee, you wouldn't have your business.
Okay, can I come back with that, Jeff?
No, because I'm going to come back with that one. Understand something, Stanley. Here's something that just happened here. GE had a plant over in our area. And they, you know, the government says you can't use a certain type of a light bulb anymore. So they had to go and start making those new light bulbs that don't come on immediately and all that stuff to save you money and to save our environment, because we're warming the globe. So they put mercury inside a doggone light bulb that if you break it, you got to call the hazmat team to come out and get. Okay, so anyway, let me calm down. See, that's what Mark is here.
I got to tell you, Jeff, some of those new light bulbs aren't bad. Now, I don't buy the mercury light bulbs. I buy the LEDs.
The LEDs are hot. I like them.
Yeah, I like those.
I like the LED.
I mean, I've had LEDs on my house for like they go 24 hours a day. They never burn out.
They don't burn, and they don't cost nothing either to operate.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're going to have to raise electric bills now, the electric rates now, because you're using less electricity.
That's what Barack Obama's doing. So wait a minute. Here's the thing is I'm in business just to make money, Stanley. I'm not in there to pay you a salary.
Yes, I understand.
So listen.
But you're
if
not
you're
there,
working for
go ahead, go ahead.
If you're working for me for $12 an hour, that's what I'm paying. Now, if you start producing for me, I'm going to take a look at that and say, wow, they're producing this for me. Blah blah blah. I better keep them going, and I'm going to raise that
no,
person
not.
Or that area.
I'm sorry,
but
you're
see,
maybe
going to
be,
well,
maybe
well,
you're an honest person, I believe you would, but a lot of owners won't care. They'll say, he's producing
then,
more. I'm still going to keep the money in my pocket and
then,
do things.
But,
that's why the wage ain't go up.
Why they in business.
Yes,
that's not
yes,
why
that's
the wage,
why the
no,
wage,
no, that's not true. That's not
that
why the wages
true.
Aren't going
that
up.
That is true. How come the wages are getting stay? How come productive production of American goes higher and higher. Wages of the middle class stay the same. Wages of the upper class goes higher and higher.
Because you
fact.
Are on.
I'm
not disagreeing. I agree with that, and it's done it exponentially under the good President Obama. So
yes.
Ask yourself why.
But
you
I ask myself why, because
yeah,
a lot
a
of times
you're missing,
owners are not. Basically, you are maybe an honest person that will say, he's doing a better job. I'll pay him more. I'm sorry. You're one in a million that does that.
I'll explain
how
that
do you
later.
Know, Jeff? How do you know, Stan? Hold on, Jeff. Can I make this point? The point
ahead,
I'm trying to make is if you come into a business legally.
Hello. Hey, guys, hold on. Alabama, make your retort. 626-444, you will be next. Go ahead.
This is the thing. A lawyer told me this a while ago. He was like, if you agree to come into something, you're in your right mind, they say, then you are – there's no legal – you're not being made – it's not fraudulent or anything like that. When you come into a business, I don't come into and buy a business. See, Stanley has an entitlement mentality. He thinks something is old.
No,
when
I don't
comes
have
into
an entitlement
business,
mentality.
Yes, you do. Let me finish.
No, I'm going to cut both of y'all off if you don't go ahead and make your point. Go ahead.
I'm trying to make my point, though, Jeff. He just jumped in like that.
I'll handle that.
Okay.
I'll handle that.
This what's up. Can I finish? Thank you.
I'm waiting.
The point I'm trying to make is that when you come into a business and you work that business and that guy pays you, I've been in jobs where they were paying me and I worked my butt off. I worked at Winn-Dixie, right? So it's a grocery line, grocery store. I was a produce manager. I worked from 6 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon like a dog. I hated that job. I did something to better myself because actually Winn-Dixie does pay people high salaries, but I had to work on me. Now Winn-Dixie actually called me a couple of months ago to come work at their corporate headquarters in Jacksonville, Florida. I didn't want to go, but I could have. What I'm saying is the person that comes in, if you work a job in your right mind and you don't know if productivity goes up, okay, maybe Stanley has a point, but how do you know every time just because you've been working, I've been working here for 2 years, I deserve it off the rip guaranteed, even if it costs you and you run out of business. That's the other side of it. That's why one in three people are unemployed. Stanley, you don't understand capitalism.
Okay. Why do I think like that? Okay, you're asking me the question, why do I think like that? Remember when Bill Clinton came with a law that basically was because of that? Remember that law? Remember that law that Bill Clinton came? It's not even me. The other president. You're asking him.
Stanley, make your point.
He came with a law that because he said, and I remember, you could go to YouTube and check it out if you don't believe me and everything. He said and everything, a lot of companies are basically acting like, we don't have the money. We don't have this and that. But they're cutting all the people in the bottom, and they're taking all the money for them. And what did Bill Clinton do when that happened? He did a law against that. Let me finish. You let me finish because that's a fact. And after that, what happened? The companies to still pay those CEOs and the upper management, they decided, you know what? You could do it if you have shares. And that's where the stock market and the share went way up for those people. So when you're telling me I don't have the fact, check it out. Because your own one of the ex-presidents did a law because of that.
I don't get your point. Stanley.
What do you mean you don't get the point? I just give you the point.
Stanley, every look,
did a law
the companies that,
because of that.
Stanley.
The government
okay,
did a law because of that. If a government
Stanley,
is doing a law because of that,
small businesses sustain our economy, Stanley, not Fortune 500 companies. Small businesses really hold the country up. I'm talking about small businesses that have, under 100 employees. That have people coming. That's most of the businesses in the country, not these few people that got CEOs making big major bonuses. It's only 500 of them.
Well, I would have to. You have to see case to case because trust me now. When
exactly,
when
so, but don't make no sweeping statement.
Like Jeff.
Dang.
I wish a lot
but I gave
of people
you, see,
like
Stanley,
Jeff,
I met
not.
You. Let me tell you why I met up with you, though, Stanley. I tried to meet up with you. What I said was there are times where if productivity is up, then, yeah, maybe the CEO should consider that. But if not, the union, once they taste blood, they feel like they're entitled to it every time. I don't care what productivity is. Look at up in New York City, Stossel did a report. These union workers, it was like, okay, the city's bankrupt. We can't. I don't care. I deserve it. You're a garbage man with a high school diploma. Get up out of here, man. Look, y'all have a nice day. I'm finna go to work. Stay up.
Yeah. Anyways, Matt?
Covina, man, is here. Alabama's a loser, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. When the ex-president comes with a law because of this, that tells me a lot, man. Hey, what do you mean you don't know the case? Look at Bill Clinton. He came with a law because of this. So not all owners are like Jeff and all, oh, yeah, I'm going to be hunky-dory. I'm going to pay my employees. I'm sorry. If it was the case, you would see the wages of the middle class go higher. And it's not been gone higher since 30 years. So.
I think Alabama, you know, he's stuck on an ideology, no matter, you know, right or wrong. He's stuck on an ideology and facts be damned. I mean,
if facts be damned, you could bring them facts and say, explain me wages for 30 years is not being gone and going up and productivity going up. Explain me that. Well, you know, the owner's taking more chances. What?
I mean,
we're not going to have a middle class soon. We're going to be rich or poor. That's it. We're not going to have a middle class anymore.
It's opinion. You know, some people like unions, people don't. You know, that's their opinion. But when you start, you know, misrepresenting facts, like unions got rid of the jobs in Detroit. You know, he pointed to Detroit and said the unions got rid of jobs. Like, I don't remember no union sitting down with, you know, trade representatives saying, oh, let's create some trade, NAFTA or whatever, so we can send these jobs that we're working for, send them to Mexico or wherever. No, the union people don't sit down and do that. That's the big business. They sit down with the president and trade administration or whatever, and they knock off those trade deals so that jobs can be sent overseas.
The opposite.
They want jobs coming home.
Yeah, they want their job to stay, and they want to protect the employees so the person, the owner, cannot fire you or things like that just because he doesn't like you or doesn't do this. No. I don't like him, I'm going to fire him. Really? And then you jeopardize the family and this and that. That's why union was there, because that's too much power. Financial power, that could destroy a family. And that's what an owner don't get. Oh, yeah, I'll fire 10,000 people. Yeah, but you're affecting 10,000 families by firing 10,000 people. But why don't you cut yourself a little bit of your salary before firing 10,000 people? But they'll never do that.
Yeah, the same companies that they'll send jobs overseas, they'll sit there and they'll buy off the politicians and say, let's deregulate everything. And the next thing you know, you got water in the whole town that you can't drink. You can't drink water because this company has poisoned it. And the reason why it happens in one area and not another is because those politicians are sold out to the corporations. They don't care about environmental regulations. You know, the Republicans get on there and start talking about regulations and overbearing regulations, this and that. And that's why you can't drink your water. That's why a plant blows up and kills you people. But you go to another state and they have regulations and it's not friendly to business here.
One of our callers explaining his side of things, you know, and I wanted to make his point because we got a few people here waiting to get in. So go ahead, Alabama. I want you to go ahead and finish your point
Alabama
here.
Alabama left.
Okay, very good. Go. So 626-644, is that you, Kavina Band?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. How can you compare me to Kavina Man?
I'm sorry, sweetie. I don't know your number. I just see 626. I
know
it's California. I'm sorry,
666?
Baby.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Kavina.
I'm not even. Oh, hello. Is that Kavina Man on there?
Yeah, do Kavina Man first.
Go ahead, man. You go first. Is this Lisa?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hi, Kavina Man. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I was just going to say, as far as the unions go, I've been working in the private sector for over 20 years, and I'd have to say I love it. In this day and age, I would not want to work for a union. I mean, look what happened to the Twinkie. The Twinkie died. You know, and that story was so
sad. I don't want to lose 6% of my paycheck every week.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm
that's my problem with it, but.
Yeah. And, Jeff, you worked for a union before. Tell me something. If you have a bad manager or a supervisor, you can't get rid of them that easy, can you? Doesn't it have to be a change of command?
You can't get rid of them. The only way I was able to do anything to help myself that way is I had to fight a battle politically. And that's sometimes the only way you can do that. But that's just the way it is. I mean that's the nature of the beast, but you know what you going to do. They do help you; they do protect you to a certain degree, but you're still going to get treated like POS. If you're not successful. Well, this is true.
Especially nowadays. And also, I wanted to have a shout out to Alabama, bless his heart. If he's ever in California, I need to hook him up with somebody. He seems so despondent.
Wow.
In Alabama.
I don't know. I like this lady. We can get a new thing going here. We can do some matchmaking on here.
yeah, because it seems like he's, you know, and he doesn't sound like the nicest guy. I don't mean to say the nicest guy, but, you know, man, I'll hook you up. That's all I got to say. Come over here.
Adam Bell is a good guy. He really is. But he's gone now. He had to run.
I know. But, you know, when you do a little dig, you know how somebody will say something and they'll say, well, of course, they were Asian. Of course, they were black. And that really wasn't even a part of the discussion. So that
yeah,
leads
but
to
I,
believe they're the problem.
Well, I know Kavina Man gonna call me a name after this, but I understand what he's saying. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry too, because I run into plenty. No, look, let me tell you, Jeff. I run into plenty of black men that do the same thing, but I'm not gonna call on the radio show and talk about it if that's not the topic.
Well, I mean. I hear you. If we were blasting and saying at store number 353 or something like that, then I think it'd be a problem. But there needs to be retraining of fast food workers across the country.
Let me tell you something. If that's how he thinks, he should come over here to California. Most of the fast food workers out here are Hispanic. So he would be saying the same thing about them. So. How I go into
a Fortune 100 hotel out there, and go down to the restaurant in the hotel and don't nobody speak English.
Oh yeah, that's very common.
How does that happen, huh?
Let me tell you something. Back in the day, and even where I work, you know, you're free to speak, you know, Spanish and stuff. But back in the day, that wasn't allowed. Because it was kind of like we're professional here, we all were hired here, we all know English, so there's no reason for you to speak Spanish. Why are you speaking Spanish if you know English? But I think nowadays people are afraid of getting sued.
Well, I don't mind the Spanish speaking. I just because you might have Spanish customers, no problem. But the thing is not you don't talk to your English people in Spanish because they don't know what the heck you're saying. And you got to point to the item on the thing. Somebody's talking in the background, please. We hear you through your hand over the receiver. But anyway,
I know my brother had worked in a place with some Mexican guys. And for their job, they had to carry a gun, and they had to count money. And he felt uncomfortable because at the end of the day, they all were armed, and they were counting money, but all the guys were speaking in Spanish. So my brother's like, what the heck are they? You know, because they're all armed.
No comprende.
They're all counting money. And he couldn't say anything because his boss was Hispanic.
Okay. But anyway, go ahead. I got to move along because I'm losing callers. Go ahead, Kavina Man.
Yeah, I had, you guys had, you know, switched the subject, but yeah, language here in L.A. is a little different because you don't get penalized for not speaking English. You get penalized if you don't speak Spanish. Back on Alabama, I don't even know how you guys got on that subject about the unions. You know, I just called in, but everybody has different opinions. I mean, in some areas you can like unions, and some areas you don't like unions. But Alabama has said the unions in Detroit. Look at Detroit. A lot of the unions had, you know, sent the jobs overseas, and that's absolutely crazy. I was trying to make a point that you never see a union representative sitting down with the, you know, Commerce Secretary and trade negotiations and saying let's send these jobs to Mexico or overseas. That's predominantly the business sector, the CEOs or whatever, and they're negotiating with the Commerce Department and whatever. Let's send jobs overseas. Let's open up markets so we can send jobs overseas. That's not the union. That's the CEO area. And it's the same CEO.
Finish your point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead. The same CEO that will be, with politicians talking about deregulate this and deregulate that, so that you have a town where the chemical plant blows up and you can't drink the water for a month. or you know,
well,
toxic fumes, or another town in Texas where, oh, we have we're business friendly with no regulations, and the town blows up. But, you know, and it's like, oh, no regulations. No regulations, no penalties for blowing up, no penalties for, you know, destroying the water.
What do they, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to have to clean it up. Here's the thing. Do you think they'll file for bankruptcy?
If you follow the news, they file for bankruptcy, and then a fictitious company buys it up. And he had to take no responsibility. That's the way it works.
Do you think that's
deregulation at its best, right there?
Well, they have no deregulation there. Let me tell you what happened. What I think happened. Do you think that with President Obama telling you before he got in office that if you want to open a clean coal technology plant, he's going to make it so expensive that you're not going to be able to afford it. It's not going to be worth it to do it because he thinks that coal is bad. Do you think that that wasn't sabotage and this just happened to be some tanks that were connected to the Koch brothers who fund conservative candidates and against the president? You think that all of that didn't make a perfect storm right here?
So you're theorizing, it's just theory.
I am theorizing. That is my theory.
Obama blew up the plant.
Not Obama,
that's
but
satanic,
the people.
That's satanic. You're satanic if you think that. That's a demon talking to you.
Well, no. Why would I be satanic? Okay. Now wait a minute. Okay. Then let's put it like this. The one company that had the most to gain from cap and trade has the first oil well to blow up in 70 freaking years in the Gulf of Mexico, and then they shut down oil production in the Gulf of Mexico for X amount of days. And guess who's the first one to get a permit to drill again? Can you say BP oil? Can you say BP oil was up the butt of Obama, and BP oil gave all that money to Obama that they did? And then they have the first oil spill, and they're the ones that would benefit under the cap and trade. Come on, dog. Come on.
It is totally science fiction.
Yeah, it is to you because you're a lover. It is to you because you're, as they would, you know how they said it in the South a long time ago. You know, the N-word lover. You're an Obama lover, though. See, so nothing he does is going to be wrong to you.
Even though
black unemployment is 28%,
yeah, he just theorized that he blew up the plant in order for some conspiracy. I didn't say he blew it up.
He's not by himself.
Obama had something to do with blowing it up.
I implicate the people on that side of the argument for doing it. Yes, I'm not saying it was Barack Obama. I don't think Barack Obama took a stick of dynamite and threw it against this plant with stuff for certain things. Now, it's not crazy to you. Wait a minute. I'm going to call you on the carpet on something, Kavita, man. Real quick, and I'm going to let you finish, and then I'm going to bring in 330-212. I'm going to say it like this. You were okay with Bush blowing up the Twin Towers for his own benefit.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Didn't you agree with that? 330-212, turn down your radio or TV, please.
Okay.
Didn't you agree that that was something that was going on?
What, you think I'm a 9/11 truther?
I thought you brought that up.
Hell no. I mean, I would never.
Oh, I apologize.
I'm anti-conspiracy theory. Anti.
Don't be anti, because some of them are true.
I believe the reason why stuff like that happens, well, I don't know, 9/11, it was terrorism, but the reason why the BP oil spill or something, that has to do with the lack of regulation and oversight.
Oh, please.
If you check that,
70 years. Oh,
even
Kavita, man, 70 years.
Even if you check the one where the plant just blew up, or the toxic spill, they haven't had an inspection in years. And I'm sure this is not, you know, this is, I'm not trying to theorize, but I'm sure somebody has said, well, we're sending out the, you know, the inspector today, and somebody would probably say, well, let me play some politicians who not send these people out yet, because I don't know, but how do they not do their job for like 10-12 years? We're not going to show up to inspect, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we didn't inspect.
Well, that remains to be seen, and that's a valid point, and I agree with that. But hold on as long as you can. 330-212, you're in there.
Hey, Jeff, this is Eric and Warren, man. How you doing?
Hey, Eric, what's good, buddy?
Not much, man. Somebody made a comment that the unions have no control over when companies move jobs overseas. I can tell you personally that's not true. A lot of the times the unions are complicit, working hand-in-hand with these management of these companies, deciding who loses their job and who keeps their job.
I agree, too. I agree 100%.
It's not the unions. It's not the unions. It's the management at the top. I know it can be very, very corrupt.
Well, this is the problem. That's why the unions are a necessary evil, because you have bad management. And this is where they overstep their bounds sometimes. They don't take in consideration world markets and things when they're talking about giving every doggone buddy in the plan a raise. See, I'm not for everybody getting a raise at one time. Now, if it's a cost of living raise or something like that and we can do it, yes. But, see, you have to understand, you affect the market whenever you change a wage. And when you change a market and you falsely raise a raise, like in a minimum wage, you destroy jobs. You don't make jobs more, because small business makes 70 to 80% of the people employed in America. You have to understand that. That's who hires everybody. So when you got small business doing that much and you raise the wage on them, they can't afford that all the time.
Right.
Okay, so that's craziness. If you're going to do something, you need to have something like an entry-level wage and have categories that of companies that can afford to pay X amount of dollars worth of wage. Because you just can't
problem.
Go. Right.
That's another problem, too. People compare apples to oranges. You can't compare a company that has 30 to 40 employees to a company that has 5,000 employees.
That's my point. That is my point, because they can't afford that, and the market does not bear. All jobs are not created equal. Every single freaking job is not meant for you to raise a family on.
And that's what making this point. Well, I was going to say, Stanley keeps making this point about the owner. Most big companies don't have one big guy at the top counting the money, laughing, saying, one for you, 10 for me, 2 for you, 20 for me. There's a board of directors, there's stockholders, there's a CFO. There's a lot of people in between the guy on the floor and the guy at the top.
And there's a lot of people that, you know, are just plain folks that are among that group of people that share in whatever the corporate profits happen to be. And one of the big beneficiaries of corporate profits are labor union pension funds.
That's true.
And so, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too. You got to kind of define what it is that you want.
Somebody's got a lot of air moving in the background. Please mute your phone. That's absolutely true. 330-212, is that, well, that was you, right, Warren?
Yeah.
Okay. I got three calls hanging in there. I got you, Diva, if you want to talk, hit the number one. Unlisted caller, hit number one, or 925, hit number one if you want to talk to us, and we'll get you in the queue to go in. But that's why I'm saying this is an unnecessary, you know, they're a necessary evil, because some of these company owners will not do the right thing when it comes to, you know, their people or the conditions even on the job. Even though you have OSHA and even though you have certain things, you know, you don't necessarily have people treating people a certain way. And so that's a thing that you have to deal with.
So, I don't, like I said, I don't want to come off as being anti-union. I am anti-certain things. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, is that, that's where he's from, am I correct?
That's where he's from.
He just gave a heck of a report on pulling Wisconsin out of the dregs by limiting, not destroying, but limiting the unions, the public unions' influence. Now, I'm for limiting public unions' influence. Why? Because public unions pay public cover public workers. Public workers are paid. If the tax revenues are not there, there's not enough to pay them. So what do you do? Because how do you get them to take a cut? The union is going to resist that. Now, I went through three cuts in the state of Ohio coming through. We had three cuts. Now, we did that to keep our job. And I think it was a good thing that we did, because ultimately we still came out of it later and we did pretty good. But you can't always get that done. And I do not believe that police and fire should be. That was what I think that our governor, Governor Kasich, did incorrectly, is when they did House Bill 5 here, I think that bill was flawed because it was never going to pass because you included police and fire. They're a totally different animal.
Yeah,
I
was going to say, you know, as somebody that, you know, would occasionally vote Democrat or, you know, whoever I feel is better, you can objectively look at how the government unions have structured, at least let's say a pension program. That I, for whatever reason, when you know, the rest of America is, you know, has Social Security, why do, you know, government workers, why are they pensions or retirement programs linked to, you know, taxpayer, you know, directly, you know, the part of the budget that the state or the city has to accumulate for? So, you know, that right there just seems like an error, that if it was a, you know, if it got to a problem with budgets and whatever, it's going to affect the retirement funding, you know. So you know, for it's a pox on both houses for whoever tied that into the retirement funding, tied into, you know, the city budget or the state budget. It seems like an error. It's off the bat.
Somebody has a window open. I'm gonna have to try to find you and shut you off. I don't know who it is, but
yeah, I don't know who it is.
I'll find it here in a minute. I think I know who it is. But that's not correct. That was you, Kavina, man.
No, that's not me. I'm inside the house.
Oh, no, okay. No, that's your girl. That's your home girl out there. She make all that noise. Hey, girl, you know better than to make all that noise here on the station. Anyway, but yeah, here it is, though. Like I said, I'm not against the union. I think we need them, but sometimes, see, somebody told me that a lot of, and just like we agreed earlier, because Mark brought this up, that a whole lot of people, you know, had a nice middle-class life because of unions, which is absolutely the truth. But here's the downside. Steel in America is done pretty much because of the unions. Why? Because every time they got a chance to take advantage of the steel boom during the wars and things like that, when it started slowing down, they were still, how do you have 12 to 14 weeks of vacation? There's only 52 freaking weeks in a year. Come on. How do you do that? You can't do that.
Yeah, you're paying them not to be there.
Right. It killed steel in America. And so, therefore, that's where you have the overreach that I'm talking about. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me.
No, I'm buying it.
You know,
yeah,
if I'm wrong.
During the war, when we needed that steel, it was different.
Yeah, it was different.
I think we had a different era in the country when the country had a trade surplus. and everybody thought that, oh, this is going to go on forever. But there was, you know, we didn't first see Ronald Reagan get elected, and all of a sudden, bam, we were going to go to a trade deficit. And then we were going to come up with trade policies and so on and so forth. As president after president, we got most favored nations with China. We got NAFTA, whatever.
NAFTA, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So nobody foresaw that all of a sudden we were going to go from this great surplus of trade to a giant deficit every year. Billions and billions every month.
I disagree with you on nobody foresaw that. Ross Perot we all
listened to him. A lot of people listened to him. It was like, yeah, he's making sense. So I agree with that. Nobody saw it. But I'm saying as far as the unions and, the American workers, we thought, as in speaking for American workers, we thought, oh, the gravy train was going to go on forever. They didn't foresee that there was that behind people's backs, they were making deals to have that giant sucking sound of jobs leaving the country. We thought, no, there's no way that American people were going to actually vote somebody in office going to send jobs overseas. That just didn't dawn on people. But what they were going to do is switch the rules. Play the old three-card Monty. Don't look at the jobs. Don't look at the economy. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about all these other things. And then meanwhile, it's like, oh, we're going to switch. Where'd the jobs go? I thought we were fighting abortion. What happened to my job? Bam. Three-card Monty. And next thing you know, we sit up here, 10% unemployment and all the stuff like that.
Well, here, check this out now. Well, the actual rate is 37%. Unemployment. 37%. That's what the government says the real unemployment rate is. You have 92 million people out of work. That ain't Bush's fault no more. Okay, so you got to start looking at what's going on and why it's like that.
Yeah, that's systematic. I think I just pretty much summed up what happened. It was a three-card money trade.
Yeah, but no, that's not what's stopping it. You got businesses sitting with $2 trillion in the bank onshore. Now, offshore, they got more than that. They got more than that sitting. Why are they sitting with that money?
You want the real answer to that, Jeff, or you want the politically correct answer?
Well, I'm gonna give you the real answer to it, but you tell me what you think is real.
They sitting on there because they don't want to create jobs because Obama's in the White House. But you can definitely
BS.
Say that is.
BS.
What? Did I hear him just say that they don't want to create jobs because Obama's in the White House?
That's what he said.
What world are you in?
They don't want to create jobs
because they're not sure what the obligations are going to go with that job. They're not going to create jobs because they don't know what Obamacare is going to do. They don't want to create jobs because they don't know what kind of regulations they're going to do. They're not going to spend their money if they think the government's going to come in and they're going to rip it out of their hands. You've got goofballs going on over this country. These are goofballs that are popping up in New York. Goofballs that are in Washington, goofballs that are in the EPA, and goofballs in Health and Human Services. They're not going to spend any money until they know they're going to be able to make it. They're legally bound to do that under the law because their obligation is to their shareholders.
Absolutely.
And the private guys aren't going to spend any money if they think the government's going to come after them.
And liberals are reactive. This administration is very, very reactive. It's not proactive. They're going to wait until the businesses come up. Then they're going to decide, oh, we're going to regulate the crap out of you. That's what they're going to do,
right.
And that's what they're afraid of.
And they should. And they should.
They should throw people
in jail. There should be a walk of shame of people walking into jail right now, all this money they're hiding overseas. But, of course,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
Why? Yeah,
they don't own it to the people, to the employees or anybody. They own it to just the shareholders. That's what you said. You just said it. I don't care about my employees. I care about the shareholder. The shareholder has to keep money. I'll do whatever I need to do. Who cares about the economy? Who cares about my employees?
Let me say something to you.
You said it.
Okay. Oh, whoa.
Become a shareholder, Stanley. That's what you do.
Who's more important, your shareholders or your employees? Which one is more important?
Stanley, invest your money into the company. Buy some shares in the company with the money you make.
Okay, yeah. And forget about the employees. Yeah, forget about the employees.
Well,
we have the middle class having low salaries. Middle class will stay for 50 years.
You can be an employee and a shareholder, Stanley. You can be a shareholder and an employee.
Yeah. I can be a shareholder. That's the whole problem. That's the whole problem.
Okay.
We don't care about
why don't you want to be a shareholder and an employee? That's what I don't understand.
Okay, gentlemen. Hold on, gentlemen.
You know, at heart, I guess I'm a Marxist. I'm a Marxist in the sense that I believe that the public ought to own the means of production. And you know what? We have a way it can be done here in this country. It's called buying stock. And you become an owner of the means of production and become a beneficiary of the company making money. Everybody ought to participate in that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And again, you know, the stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. Yeah, that happens all the time. But over a 20, 30, 40-year period, it turns out to be a good investment if you invest in good quality companies that are making money. And one of the ways they make money is not to spend money and think the government's going to come and take it from them.
And sir, let's
go with your theory.
Let's go with that, Jeff.
Let me attack on that before you can go ahead.
Go ahead, Kavina.
Okay, you go with that. And the guy is like, we're going to invest, and we're going to all invest in, the oil. And we're going to send oil up to $170 a barrel because we can make some good money with $170 oil, barrel oil. But the local people, they're going to be, crying deep in the street. They're going to be like, why is, we got a $6 a gallon gas or whatever. But the shareholder is going to be like, hey, I'm a shareholder. Everything's good. What are you complaining about?
Exactly. Making money.
You invest in it. You sell your soul to the devil to make a couple of dollars.
This is insanity.
I'm making money.
But you're satanic. This, everybody disagree. We can agree that brother, he's okay. He can be an investment. But disagree, that's satanic. Can we all agree that that's some Satanism?
No.
Except for the brother,
no.
They don't believe in Satan?
Wait a minute. So the oil companies.
We can
companies,
all agree.
You're saying the oil companies who are producing gasoline that you put in your cars to get from point A to point B, they're Satan?
No, we're saying that they own it just to the shareholder. And like he said, the example that we all bought shareholders, the price is going to go up because they're going to say, hey, we need to make profit. The shareholders are asking 300%. We need to get that 300%. Last year we had 200. We need to have 300.
I'm going to tell you something over here. There's two ways, and here's one of my concerns. And one of the things that you look at is we become more and more and more and more automated. You know, the jobs are changing, and so the issue becomes how is my wife and I were talking about this yesterday afternoon. We were sitting around talking, drinking coffee, and talking about the state of the world. I need to get a life. But at any rate, she said to me, what happens when these jobs are all automated? Where are people going to work? You know, and that's a good point. And the way you deal with that is to give people ownership in the companies that are making money. You know, we have been brainwashed to believe that corporations are big, evil, bad guys. You turn on a Christmas movie, they're saving the town from the evil oil company. They're saving the town from the evil hospitality company. Those evil companies provide jobs, and they provide revenue, and it's your choice to participate in it or not. That's all.
Everybody ought to do it on the profit of the employees, and they keep the profit for themselves, and they don't share their profit with the employees, and that's why we have the middle class who has no salary, period.
I need a donut. Where's the donut?
I don't know. Tracy messing up. 330-212.
If Tracy were here, we'd have donuts.
Oh, I'm blending. I'm messing up then. I owe Mark donuts. Go ahead. Listen. Let me tell you something. And this is what the problem is that you're going through. The people that are parking that money right now want to make money off of their investment. They're not making a whole lot of it in the bank. They're making some for the dollar, but if they're not able to produce products and sell them on the market, they're not making money, okay? They don't want to park their money. They want to put their money to use and so that it produces something to bring in more money.
What is going on is you have a very antagonistic government right now that wants to tax the hell out of them. That's number one. Number two, he's regulating the hell out of anything he doesn't think is a good business. And he's choosing winners and losers. Okay? This is what this administration is doing. That's why they're waiting for three more years. They're not going to put up with this and let him redistribute the wealth. And I told you when he got into office, those that were listening to the show, rich people are not going to allow you to take their money. They're going to take it and put it away.
Yep.
But no, no. Oh, hope and change. Hope and change. Okay, and now, where has that hope and change got you? 37 freaking percent unemployment.
37%.
37%. And not only that, you create a health care law that doesn't work and is killing businesses left and right. You see that Target used to pay for health care for their part-timers. I don't know anybody that gives their part-timers health care. Part-timers. And guess what? That's gone. Now, what's your answer to that? 330-205, you're in there. 330-205. Oh, they hung up. Okay. They had to go. But anyway, here's what I'm telling
answer,
you.
My quick answer to that is 336 electoral votes. That was my answer.
Well, here's the thing. That means 336 electoral votes, however many it was, were stupid because they did it twice even after they saw it sliding the wrong way. So that's just telling you that they're not stupid. They're not stupid. They're ignorant.
Okay, and Jeff, my answer is when Mitt Romney did that stupid comment of the 47%. So that's my answer.
That wasn't a stupid comment.
That was a stupid comment.
No,
that
it wasn't.
Was stupid comment.
That's what they believe.
That was a stupid biblical Satan belief.
That was a politically disastrous comment.
I think it was taken out of context.
It wasn't taken out of context. The guy did the video and showed it from the beginning. He didn't cut it. He just left it like it is. He said, so people can say
Stanley,
it's out of context,
Stanley,
this and that.
Calm down, Stanley. 330-205, you're in the air.
Hey, I've been listening, Jeff, and this makes me crazy because 52% of ExxonMobil, everybody likes to pick on ExxonMobil, 52% of ExxonMobil is owned by pension funds, 401Ks, and IRAs. 52% of their stock, that's where it's at. So when they do well, who does well? The average employee that's got a 401K, an IRA, or a pension plan. And it just makes me crazy when people pick on these companies because the majority of that stock is held in common people's hands. It's not
right.
held by the so-called one percenters. It's held by the 99.
The people that are thinking about their future after they retire.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a teacher and you work for the teachers and it sticks, thank you for the birthday greetings. I really appreciate that. But you're going to have to sing for me when I see you.
Okay, I
but
will.
You look at the teachers' unions. All right, my wife was a teacher. You look at their pension fund. My God, these teachers who come out railing against companies, look at what state teachers' retirement system owns: stock, bonds, lots of stock, lots of bonds, and companies that are out making money. They own them in oil companies. They own them in coal companies. They don't sit around and say, oh, well, let's see, that one's a bad company. I'm not going to go buy that stock. They deal in coal. We don't need any more coal. Yeah, this is all a bunch of bull.
Those same investments, they said, let's divest in South Africa. Or let's divest in it. They do yield some political or at least economic power with that investment at times when they can use it, and the investment in South Africa was one good example.
Yeah, you know, in South Africa, you're looking at apartheid and an absolute moral cesspool there. And I can understand that. And the same goes with some of the diamond other diamond companies in Africa and the blood diamonds and those sorts of things. But basically speaking, they're not going to sit and look at ExxonMobil and ExxonMobil and say, okay, their oil is bad, therefore we're not going to buy ExxonMobil. Of course they're going to buy ExxonMobil.
We got to pay some bills, Mark.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. Hear ya.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. After 25 days without a head coach, the Browns have hired Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Mike Pettine to lead the team. Pettine finalized a contract yesterday with the Browns. A relief for taxpayers as Mahoney County commissioners decided not to put an extra 0.25% sales tax increase on the May ballot. During a meeting, commissioners agreed after listening to the community in public hearings, the additional tax wasn't a good idea, at least for now. Without the tax, however, the county is likely to experience a $2 million deficit this year and a $5 million deficit next year. The Mahoney County grand jury has indicted two people for a series of home burglaries that happened in July and August of last year. 26-year-old Andrew McCourt and 24-year-old Stephanie McCourt were charged with burglary and theft. They're accused of breaking into homes, stealing firearms, jewelry, and more. Police say robberies happened in Jackson, Milton, Ellsworth, Berlin, Goshen, and Beaver Townships. For WSON News, I'm Harper Keegan. Trying to find a Valentine's gift?
Does a set of steak knives seem appropriate?
Are you trying to give her a weapon to use on you?
I'm beginning to think this whole love thing is a grave mental disease.
Well, they do say, till death do you part.
I tried marriage.
Really?
Never got any sleep.
And it broke up?
We agreed to never go to bed mad.
That's good.
We just stayed up and fought.
I'm going to help you out.
No, never getting married again.
That's not what I meant.
Next time, I'm finding a woman I don't like and just giving her my house.
Listen up, bitter boy. Go online, 600WSOM.com. Click on Sweet Deals and buy a ticket to Stupid Cupid.
You're calling me stupid?
It's tempting. Listen to the announcer.
Uncelebrate Valentine's Day, February 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. Dinner, your choice of carved roasted sirloin, chicken francaise, or sausage and peppers.
Mmm, tasty.
Comedian Dom Leonelli, dance to Simply Ed, prizes and fun.
Can I book a table?
Sure. Call Justine at 330-779-8114 after you bought your tickets. And everyone's welcome, single, married, or groups.
You know what they say?
No.
Love is blind. It's marriage that's eye-opening.
Okay, you're a homeowner and you're behind on your monthly mortgage payments. Well, guess what? You are not alone. So what are your options? Lose your home? Or how about trust the bank that put you in this position to help you get out of it? Yeah, okay, really? Well, if your situation is bad, you have nothing to lose at this point. So take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-213-6981. When you call the Foreclosure Defense Network, they will give you information that can stop your home from going into foreclosure, information that can even get your home out of foreclosure. They can even lower your monthly mortgage payment and get rid of all your unsecured debt. And here's the best part. There's no fees if they can't help you. Make the call, 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981. The consultation is free. The programs are real. Don't lose your home. Call the Foreclosure Defense Network today, 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back afternoons, Tracy and Friends, in the morning time, in mornings with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Mark here hanging out talking to you about what's going on. Sticks was here a minute ago, and we're having this problem here, but we're broadcasting live on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, and we're talking about business and how it works, and this is what happens here. I think that you guys that are arguing, saying that the businesses are at fault, don't understand how the economy really works and how a business really works. And this is why I say that. You just had the government kill a product for sale under the auspices of saving money and energy. So they're going to force you to conserve energy, even if you can afford your own energy, by saying what kind of a light bulb you can make. Now, that new light bulb, they are better. They do conserve energy. So now we go to this light bulb, and guess what? The plant tells you, well, that regular light bulbs cost $2 a pack. The new light bulb costs $12 a pack. So, in other words, it cost us a lot more money to make this new light bulb. We're going to have to get some concessions from the workers because we're going from $2 that we charge now that we're paying your good salaries on now because it's a cheap bulb. But now we go to this big expensive bulb and we're paying $10 more a pack. And you don't want to, your union says, we're not going to take any concessions. And they close the plant on your behind, and you're without any job. Not just getting paid less than on a job, that within time, as that bulb starts getting bought more and more, and is the bulb of choice now, would come up, and then you can get your raises and get back to where you were and maybe make more. Not willing to do that with the company. They took the hit because the government told them they can't even make the old bulbs anymore. Am I correct?
That's right.
Sorry about that. I thought I pushed both buttons. They can't make it. They have to make what the government said they have to make. You don't take no concession. You have no job. And you deserve no job.
So the consumer is taken out of the decision making process with this because I am a big Jeff and I were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. I am a big proponent of the alternate light bulbs, but they don't work in every circumstance, and there's places where I want them and places where I want the old ones, and you know the consumer can make that happen. If you make a better mousetrap, sooner or later the better mousetrap's going to win. Same's going to go with the light bulbs. You go out and you buy an LED light bulb, for example. It's going to cost you $10 minimum. You go out and you buy those squiggly bulbs. You've got mercury in those. You've got to call a hazmat team if they break. You're not supposed to pick them up.
Or be in danger of mercury poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of an improvement is that? I don't get it.
But now, but go ahead, local call. I'm sorry.
Oh, hi. Hi, it's Dee.
Hey, Dee, how you doing, sweetie?
Real good. You know what I'm concerned about, though? When the government feels that it wants to dictate to the private industries, it can, you know, pull all these strings with regulation and controls and everything. But when they award government contracts, like to appease lobbyists, the sky's the limit. You know, these contractors can charge whatever they want when they're doing a job for the government because we're paying that. And I think, you know, it's just, I heard recently that they're talking about this new skin material for making, in a sense, it's like an armor for the military and for the police force, and it's called dragon skin. It's like little platelets that are supposed to be impervious.
Yeah, I read about that.
Did
yeah.
you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I thought it's interesting that they call it dragon skin because, you know, that has a little bit of a prophetic connection. But we won't go there. But anyway, I'm thinking, I thought we were going into more of an air offensive you know, with the drones and everything like that. But now I hear that, you know, we're going to put all this money into this special material. So you stop and think, when our government wants to pay money for some project or some to appease some lobbyist or contributor to a campaign, the sky's the limit. And yet they interfere in the business of private companies who are trying to be cost-effective and efficient. I know relatives who worked for the government. They said these government contracts are, it's outrageous, the waste that's involved. You know, they have projects, and if they miscalculate, I heard of one where there was an aircraft that they miscalculated the dimensions for the windshield, so they just buried it in the desert and ordered a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and sometimes they'll, like, order, say, 10 titanium screws for a project, and they need 12, so then they have to go back and, you know, refit those, you know, extra screws. We have no idea of the waste that's going on in these government-controlled enterprises, and yet they want to dictate to the private sector. I just don't understand that. I really think that, you know, private industry should be private industry. If the people working there can legitimately show that there's some hazard or problem and they need, you know, the government to look into a problem, that's one thing. But for a government to come in and say, we're going to put restrictions on you on what you can produce and how, you know, how you can get your energy to run your turbines or whatever, I can't understand how this could be happening in our country. When we prided ourselves on the fact that you could come here and if you worked hard and if you had wonderful ideas, you could think out of the box. It must be you're allowed to think out of the box, you know, only for certain people.
I got a theory on that. Small business is hard in this country these days. It's worse now than it was 5 years ago. This country's geared towards big government, big business, and big labor. If you don't fall into one of those three categories, good luck to you. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough.
Well, eventually we'll all be working for the government. That's the way it looks.
That's the plan.
I was just going to say. And, you know, when I think about this, like Kevlar replacement dragon skin, I'm thinking, you know, if they are going to make suits of this for the police force, it's because they're anticipating there's going to be an uprising.
You know, I thought, you know, it's funny you should say that, Dee, because that is exactly the thought that crossed my mind when I read that article.
Mm-hmm.
What are they preparing for? And that bothers me a little bit.
And you can see if you're pushing people to the point where they do not have work, and then when they can't afford housing and they have to go into shelters and they can't afford food and they have to be dependent on, you know, wherever they can get a handout, you're going to have, you know, you've developed in the American people that that independent spirit. And then if you try to quell that, you're going to have unrest.
And I have had the feeling under this administration that it's gearing itself towards domestic unrest. I'm not sure where they think it's coming from. I've got my own ideas. But you look at the weather that we've been having up here right now, and right now it's 0 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesday it's going to be low of 17 below, 16 below, high of 3 below on Tuesday. People are having to pay to heat their houses. And if you live in an all-electric house, it's going to be very, very expensive right now because the cost of electricity is at an all-time high.
Don't say that to me.
And the same with natural gas. Natural gas is up there, too. So you can't afford to heat your home. And if the choice is between paying for your heat or paying for food, what do you do?
Well, I just spoke with a woman who told me it was $600 last month for her all-electric home, but she had ordered pellets for her wood stove. So she said on top of, you know, that $600, I had that expense. And she said she had never, you know, encountered something like that.
Now she must have a very big house.
Yeah.
Okay.
She lives, you know, out with, you know, some property.
Yeah.
But when I heard that, I thought, oh, my goodness.
And now the EPA doesn't want you burning your wood stoves either. I mean, this is where we're headed.
I thought about
her,
and I thought, well, what would happen if they start shutting her down slowly but surely? She'll be concerned.
Yep, you're right, D. Either call back or hang on through the news. We'll be right back. Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff and Mark. We're holding it down for you. We'll be right back.
On Newstalk 600, visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The deep freeze is causing a lot of problems today across much of the nation, especially in parts of Texas, which don't usually see snow and ice.
The combination of cold temperatures and precipitation have made a mess of area freeways, freezing bridges and overpasses and covering sections of roads with black ice. Houston is a driving city with commutes averaging more than 40 minutes on a regular weekday. Sergeant Jeffrey McGowan with the county's Motorist Assistance Program.
We've had several calls with vehicles that are spinning out, minor accidents, major accidents, so we really want people to stay at home.
The good news is conditions are expected to improve later today. Maria Todd, ABC News, Houston.
The eastbound lanes of I-94 in northwestern Indiana are still closed as crews clean up a pileup involving more than 40 cars and trucks. A couple from Michigan and a man from Chicago were killed in the wreck yesterday. More than 20 others were hurt. The bitter cold could stay well into next week across the Northeast, and organizers of the Super Bowl, which will be played in New Jersey, may have to rethink their game plan, possibly moving the game to another day.
NFL officials say they have hundreds of trucks to clear any snow and as much as 60,000 tons of salt for the roads, but they still believe the Super Bowl will be played on Sunday.
ABC's Gio Benitez, a Texas judge, has an unenviable task of deciding whether to remove a pregnant woman from life support.
Marlies Munoz was 14 weeks pregnant when she suffered a pulmonary embolism just before Thanksgiving. She's been unresponsive ever since, but the hospital has refused to shut off life support, citing a state law that prohibits the removal of the machines from a pregnant woman until the fetus is old enough to live outside the womb. The Munoz family will argue in court that the unborn baby has extreme deformities that won't allow it to survive, and that with no brain function, for all intents and purposes, Marlies Munoz is dead already. Jim Ryan, ABC News, outside the courthouse in Fort Worth, Texas.
The Dow is down 151 points. You're listening to ABC News.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night, struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually 924. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmore924.com or call 855-856-2424.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-379-1174. 800-379-1174.
We've heard him a million times. Which song will win Record of the Year at the Grammys this weekend?
For a bunch of experts, one song is a lock.
And we'll never be royal.
Royals by Lorde is the top pick over at the awards prediction website Gold Derby, says founder Tom O'Neill.
This category often favors solo female artists like Adele, Amy Winehouse, Norah Jones.
Billboard editor Joe Levy disagrees.
I think this one is between Bruno Mars and Daft Punk. I'm up all night to get lucky. Get Lucky, a classic disco chic-sounding song. I give this one to Get Lucky.
Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines and Radioactive by Imagine Dragons are also in the race. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Nutrition labels on food packages are getting a makeover. The FDA says our knowledge has evolved since the early 1990s, and so the labels need to reflect that. The number of calories will be more prominent, and the amount of added sugar and percentage of whole wheat in food will be included. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Lowe's today.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
Do you live with stress? If you have nervousness or common everyday anxiety, we're looking for you. Because right now we're sending risk-free supplies of a fast-acting supplement to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block, a naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, focus, and well-being in a great-tasting chewable. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-513-9851. Stress Block is a fast-acting, non-prescription formula to support relaxation without causing drowsiness. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in no time. This special risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Just call 1-800-513-9851 or visit StressBlock.com. Just call 1-800-513-9851. That's 1-800-513-9851 or visit StressBlock.com.
If it comes up, it goes out. Weekdays from 9 to noon, listen to Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Doggies, we're back here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, broadcasting live here on the radio station and on WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio, as well as on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends and at TracyandFriends.com. We have the world covered, so don't try to get away. We're here for you. We're the real talk of America right here.
Yeah, we have all the answers.
And we have all
if they'd
the
only,
answers.
If they'd only ask us, that's all they have to do. I know I'm available to go tell them what to do. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I'd make the effort.
I know that's right. Well, I got a couple, a few unlisteds out there. If you want to talk, go ahead and hit the one. We know you're out there. You want to get in there. Uh-oh, we in trouble now. 440, you're in the air.
Yeah, Jeff, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I wanted to address the body armor thing. That body armor that she's talking about is Dragonwear. That's the best you can buy. It's
that's what they
very
said.
Lightweight. It's very lightweight. It's not as cumbersome. And the reason I know about it so well is that a neighbor girl was going to Afghanistan, and the current military issue was too cumbersome for her. She's a small person. So my neighborhood, we bought her this body armor.
Oh, wow.
We bought her the vest. It was $3,000.
I'm coming to live in your neighborhood.
That was real nice to do that. That's
that's
wow.
Great.
That's
I commend you. Yeah, you're right.
How were they able to do that? They didn't get government issued. Did they get it from a contract supplier?
He dropped.
Oh.
Well, maybe. Well, I don't know him to be somebody that's not telling the truth. So,
no, but I'm just saying, isn't that fascinating that they, you know, were able to research that and get that for her?
Well, yeah, I would believe that.
You know, the people are under. I don't know that much about the military, but my secretary's son's over in Afghanistan right now, and I'm always amazed at what the government doesn't supply for them. and has to come from either home or for someplace else. I don't understand how that works, and that kind of bothers me a little bit when she talks about those things.
Do you recall when there were groups of people that were paying to send over metal plates to try to reinforce the jeeps that the men were in because they were saying that they were not constructed in such a way to provide safety for them, so they were like armor plating their jeeps, and I remember hearing about groups of parents that were working together to outfit those jeeps and protect their sons and daughters. I remember hearing about that.
Sticks, go ahead. And Alex, you are in if you want to talk.
I just wanted to answer your question. It's not illegal for a civilian to own body armor. You can buy body armor. There's a store in North Lima in the old schoolhouse that sells body armor.
She was in the military.
Right, and as long as you're not a convicted felon, you can buy body armor. So they could have just went on the open market and bought it for her and gave it to her.
Well, that wasn't the point. The point is that she was in the military, and they bought it for her because her stuff was real cumbersome, which I don't think they're allowed to do, but I don't know.
Yeah, Werther Knives down in Dover, they made commando knives during World War II, and it was the best commando knife that money could buy, and they... people would buy them for their sons to take to war with them. So, yeah, you can, up to a certain point, you can furnish some of your own equipment as long as it meets military specs.
Okay.
Is that you shouldn't have to. You know, we should take care of you if we're sending you off to fight on behalf of your country. We should make sure that you're reasonably protected, and if you can't, you know, if this person was so small that she couldn't wear, you know, a regular vest, they should have afforded her something that would protect her. But you know, the thing that
unfortunately, it's been like that throughout the history of the whole country. Civil War soldiers were providing themselves with Winchester repeating rifles because the military rifle wasn't as of the same quality as a Winchester repeater. So this is really nothing new for the United States, unfortunately.
Well,
hey, Jim.
Yeah. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing real good.
You know, this whole issue came about, which you guys are talking about, the dragon skin. It's really political because... back in 2006, I think it was, people were complaining, families, military families are complaining because their loved ones were going to Iraq War, and they didn't have any armor. Some people didn't have any armor. I mean, some of the Humvees that they were driving weren't even militarized. They didn't have any, they weren't, you know, armored Humvees. They were just driving regular Humvees, like just right off the GM assembly line or something. It was
Thank
ridiculous.
Thank you, Bill Clinton. Thank you, Bill Clinton.
Well, I'm not pointing blame at whatever president, but I'm just saying that there was obviously a gross breakdown, you know, that left so many of our soldiers just, you know, just unprotected and just, you know, open to enormous risk of being maimed or killed. And so I think that a lot of it, you know, is the fault of big government, and pointing to what Sticks was talking about is that, you know, when you read the Constitution, it was intended for the people to be able to protect themselves. And going back all the way to the beginning, the people didn't depend on the government to furnish their weapons. And so I find it ridiculous when people think that the government is supposed to have the biggest guns. No. The people are supposed to have you know, the people are supposed to have the guns and any kind of weaponry that they can afford to maintain. Because
right.
the protection was supposed to come from the free people. That's what the Second Amendment is about. You know, and so, you know, if people want to have their own body armor and, hell, grenade launchers, whatever they want, whatever they can afford to maintain, and they want to protect their country, I personally think that's their constitutional right. They should be able to do that. But our government has grown so oppressive that our soldiers have just become, you know, they just turned into cannon fodder, you know, and they just have to obey. And that's just it. They just obey. And, you know, putting their lives at risk, and it's just sad. It's really sad to me.
Well, you know, what Alex is saying I think is very thought-provoking, and I had not considered that, but I agree. I think the concern, though, is when we're fighting an enemy that we recognize as our enemy, you can see the validity of that because, you know, the United States has to be protected. But I think the problem is we have confused that issue so much by going off on these military, whether you want to call them war or, you know, military skirmishes, whatever you want to call them, conflicts. And our people have, like, lost their faith in the government, and when they're seeing their loved ones go, and there's nothing accomplished. I mean, you look at Iraq now. I mean, you know,
wonderful segue.
I was just going to say, what did we do? And we lost so many beautiful lives, and so much of, you know, our country's, you know, wealth. And you know, I look at this, and then I think how foolhardy that you hear about all the weaponry that we left behind to go into the hands of unstable people and to go into the hands of people who would use that to duplicate our technology. I mean, I don't see any rational plan in what we're doing.
Well, that was a great segue for where I wanted to go. The reason why I blame Bill Clinton, though, Alex, is because don't forget that 9/11 happened only 8 months into the Bush presidency. And that is something that, you know, regime change in Iraq, we were going to go into Iraq no matter what. Regime change in Iraq was a law that was passed by Bill Clinton and funded by Bill Clinton. And he got that law passed. There was no problem getting it passed because of all the intelligence coming out of that country. Let's not play with this little goofy argument about there were no WMDs. There might not have been WMDs in the amount that we gave them to him, but we gave him those WMDs. He had them. We know he did because we – don't forget, we funded him against Iran in a 10 or 12 year war.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. Like the other person is saying, we lost a lot because we weren't sure. We didn't have to do that war. I'm sorry to say, Jeff.
Well, I don't agree with you, but I got you.
We had no reason to do that war, and like the other person mm-hmm. said, we lost more than we gained. We lost a lot. We lost the respect around the world. We did a war that was
no,
stupid,
you didn't.
That was yes, we did. Yes, we did.
No,
maybe
you
don't
lost your,
believe it. Yes,
you
yes,
want to you want to see loss of respect. You're lost your respect around the world right now.
We lost the respect because if you didn't lose the respect, Obama would have never been president. Trust me.
Mm-mm. You lost me.
No.
Listen to me. You lost the public relations battle in the press. You did not lose respect around the world. They were afraid
yes,
of George
you did.
Bush.
You did. Didn't you see how many people went around the street that was saying, why are you still doing that Iraq war? Didn't you see that? Read the news. There was many people in the news from Canada. Wait a minute, Jeff. Read the news. You don't believe it, but trust me not. I remember what happened. Every newscaster was saying, what the hell are you doing?
Listen, why did Bill Clinton sign a law that said regime change in Iraq was absolutely necessary. He funded it. Let me finish, though. He funded it, sent the CIA over there to do the things that to preclude invasion and takeover. Now, why did he do that? And why did he leave it on the books? And that was one of the things that was the Passover to the administration when they gave the intelligence of what was going on while he was in office.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well,
please, Alex, tell him the truth of what happened around the world when George Bush was in the war, because he thinks that everybody in the war, everybody around the world was like, you PIA that you're doing this.
I do not think that at all, and that's not what I said. No, I said, you said we were not respected.
We were not respected.
No. They may not like you. But they respected
Alex,
you.
Please, Alex. Alex is the person.
They may not
have liked
you, but
please,
they respected
Alex,
you because they knew that George Bush would put a missile
please.
Up there behind. Go.
I want to hear Alex.
Hold
please.
On, Stanley.
I think that.
Go ahead.
I think that the fact that Bill Clinton did make that directive. I think it's evidence that Democrats and Republicans are the same.
well, there's no doubt, but there's a reason why he did it. He didn't do it for no reason.
Well, yeah, and it's for the same reason, because the same forces rule both the Democrat and Republican Party. I mean,
pretty much.
You have Saddam Hussein, who, he was doing something, but. I don't think that it was work. I don't think it was a reason to invade his country, though, because, I mean, are we going to respect other countries as sovereign nations or not? I mean, if we're going to continue to go around the world and tell people bow down to us, then we are always going to experience
terror. That's not what happened, Alex. No, it isn't. I'm disappointed with you on that one. Don't you remember?
Alex.
Okay, now here's the thing. Who built the freaking country?
Who built Iraq?
Who built
we
it?
We didn't build it.
Yes, you did.
No, we
yes,
didn't.
You did. Yes,
no,
you
we
did.
We
okay.
gave money
you,
to them, but we didn't
do
build
you
it.
Remember
they
when the shop?
Own.
Do
they
you remember? Okay.
They took our money to do something with it. We didn't
no,
build it. We didn't come
no,
to say, you're going to
no.
do it. This, it's their country.
That's not it. That's,
Jeff,
we don't own that country, Jeff. It's their country.
We were handing them money for a long time.
A whole long time.
And the concern that I had is why did you continue to deal with them that way?
Because you had to have a strategic place to jump off, which Obama just destroyed. But you needed a strategic jump-off place because you knew Iran was going to do what they were going to do. You were protecting your other people in the Middle East with Iraq. Iraq could stop Afghanistan. Iraq, you know, your positioning there could neutralize Iran, and you had to do it because he was going to destroy your dollar.
Well, you know, hindsight is wonderful, but I'm thinking, could we have gone to him in the way that we had previously, given him money and formed for the you don't think that
no because he already got pissed with you because. And this was our fault, though, because Bush 1 told him to – he said, can I stop Kuwait from slant drilling? Because they're coming up under our land and taking our oil by slant drilling. And they told him yes. Then that Margaret Thatcher got mad because it was actually BP and their subsidiaries that was doing it. And so Bush 1 told him to stop. He wouldn't stop because he was pissed. And they told him to get out. And Bush 1 – lit him up, and he set the oil wells on fire and went back into his country. That's when he said, I'm going to sell my money, my oil on the euro. And that's when they said, we got to stop this guy. And he started in talks with Iran. This is what I'm saying. No, he shouldn't. Because after I build your behind up and we have agreements, and then you're going
to
turn and bite the hand that feeds you, guess what?
No
I'm gonna ring.
No
I'm gonna ring your neck,
Jeff.
Yeah,
it's not an agreement. It's not an agreement.
You
just you want
to be
the entire world You want the entire world to bow down to what it
to
means
us.
To
Alex.
And it's not even America.
I'm ashamed.
Of
that coming out of your mouth. Because you don't come out. You don't come out with small stuff usually.
I'm ashamed.
That's small.
This
not neocon rhetoric. This is what
it is.
Neocon rhetoric is there was weapons of mass destruction over there, and he won't let us in to see what he's doing. That's the rhetoric. What happened is
it's their country. They have the right to basically do whatever they want to do in their country.
No, they don't.
That's number one. Yes, they can. That's their
country. Again.
It's not United States, Iraq.
Yes,
it is. Iraq is their country. It's their country, Jeff.
No.
Yes, it is. It's their country.
Stanley, we allowed him to run his country.
Okay, we allowed them to, but it's still their country.
But we don't have
the right of their country. It's their country.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
You know why you had a right? Because you had an agreement with him.
I don't care if you have an agreement. It's still their country.
I stepped out for just a little bit, mm-hmm. and I missed the basis of the conversation.
We're talking about Iraq again.
Okay, so you know what I'm – you know, here's my comment. If you want to know what we're doing there, look at the map. And, you know, and I've been saying this through Bush 1, through Bush 2, and this jerk we got in the White House right now. Iran's in the middle over there. That's a very dangerous country. I don't understand what we're doing. All I know is we fought for Iraq once, we fought for Iraq twice, and we're going to end up going in there fighting for them a third time. What they should have done is you keep a pretty big base in Iraq, you keep a pretty big base in Afghanistan, you point the guns out, and Iran's in the middle, and our problems are solved. But
absolutely.
They don't want to do that. I don't understand what
they're
thinking.
Political.
It's absolutely. Listen, my major in college was foreign relations.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a vacuum, there's never a vacuum in politics.
Never.
That vacuum right now is being filled by the Soviet or Russia right now, and then Putin, who's probably the strongest leader in the world today. And, you know, it's not good for us, folks. And sooner or later, we're going to have to go back in there for a third time. We need to go in there and look out for our strategic interest. I don't care whose country it is. If you call us over there to bail you out, you get us hook, line, and sinker.
Why are we releasing these monies to Iran under the pretext that they are not going to use their nuclear...
The same reason why you have now that you can wear a beard and a turban in the frickin' military.
That's the same reason.
That's why you're doing that.
Given that we're really funding their efforts to make nuclear weapons to destabilize the
because you have a sympathizer in the White House.
Yeah, there is no explanation for what he's doing, and that's what bothers me. You can look at people and you can figure out they're doing this because of that, they're doing that because of this. With Obama, I can't figure out why he's doing this. I know there's ideological issues. He's anti-war. He's anti-military, blah, 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 blah. But he does have advisors. What are they telling him and what is he listening to?
I don't get it. So quickly, giving this money, and you know that it can be used for, ill-gotten, you know, it will be ill-gotten gain. It will not be used for anything peaceful or constructive. I just don't understand it.
Well, they'll feed their people and keep them from uprising so they can go back to doing what they do 2-6 months from now. That's all it's bought us. Hold on a second, Alex. 978, you're in there.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
We thought we cut you off from calling in here.
I know, but I got a new number, so I get to like add into it because it's not really me.
Shut this call off, Mark. Don't let
him. I gotta. This is just my opinion. We got to go all the way back to the Iran-Contra. No, go back to. I'm sorry. To 76 when we had the hostage crisis. Americans. Their foreign policy. When we took our money off the gold standard and put it on the petro, and on oil. Everything changed. And we need to go all the way back and find out who we put in power because we need to understand Saddam Hussein was put in power by Americans. Now, we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle, and that was not always reported, so you didn't get to hear all that information. that we need to really understand the ignorance of most of us, the majority of us, leading up to 9/11. Because a lot of things that were going on in foreign policy, if you didn't get it in 30 minutes in the evening news, you didn't get it. Because there was,
right.
I mean, it wasn't out there like it is right now. And so there were a lot of things going on in our foreign policy that Americans had no idea of. And because we didn't have any idea of it, we were all ignorant. And they had been playing games all the way through all of the presidencies leading up to George W. Bush. Now, it blew up in Bush's face, but it was manifested. It was manifested under George, but it led up to all of that. And so, actually, if you listen to all of your arguments, if you don't talk on top of each other, all of you are making a great point about how this happened. Because Stanley, you said if you listen to the news said, the news tells you what they either want you to know or what they've heard, but they don't always tell you the truth. We need to understand that, because if they had, they would have shut down all of the foo-foo poo-poo TV that we were watching and put on what was really going on in foreign policy when they started putting people in power. We funded not only Saddam Hussein, but Osama bin Laden. We have been funding him for years.
Absolutely, in Afghanistan. Right.
We need to understand that all the issues that we're having right now, it's not because we're trying to take over something that we didn't have control over. It's because we had been controlling it for a very long time and manipulating, and we put bad people in power. And when those bad people decided they no longer needed us, they pushed us out the way. We had no business trusting them in the first place. And so now this is where we are. So, no, Stanley, we had no right in the first place to go over there and to do what we did, but because we had already changed our standard from the gold to the oil, we didn't have a choice, because they had been hiding and doing stuff all along that was going to kill us if we had allowed them to do what they chose, but we had no business taking over countries and getting involved in their affairs way back when. And if
exactly.
I'm wrong, you know, Mark or somebody can correct me, but we've been doing it for years.
Exactly.
And that's
then
where
we
are right now. We're policing the world.
Exactly.
So we shouldn't
and
have been policing the world anyhow.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's a matter of opinion right there, Tracy, because of this. You have people called allies, okay, that if you don't police the world, your allies are going down the drain because they cannot defend against those people being so close to them. So you have Europe and Israel. You have Europe and Israel and the United Arab Emirates as your allies, and Saudi Arabia, even though Saudi Arabia is a double agent. You have to deal with that. And if you don't, Suez Canal closes, and what happens to the rest of your world?
But how, Jeff, how do you want us to deal with that?
Look how much dirt we did while we in the name of doing it. I mean, you have to realize we said that we were helping out our allies. We were helping out Israel. We were helping out Europe. We were doing all that. But look at all the nasty stuff and the dirty stuff that America did along the way in the name of helping other people out.
Understood. It has nothing to do with it.
So
we
are, no.
It has nothing to do with it.
If we had done the right thing,
yeah.
And we had been clean, and I'm talking about all administrations, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, because remember,
right.
There is still a progressive movement, and that progressive movement has absolutely nothing to do with the conservatives and or the liberals. It's all about the power of the dollar and control.
Well, you know, my frustration right now is I have a friend who uses this saying, and it's very apropos, but it's we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
True.
What good is it going to do us? I don't know what we're doing. and I think, you would pray that you would get some really good strategic people in the room, and they would make a plan, and they like I said, releasing money to somebody who's unstable doesn't make any sense. Our president's going over to meet with the Pope. He just got back from his trip, to Hawaii. It seems like the critical things are happening, and our leadership is missing in action.
They don't understand what the significance of President Obama meeting with the first Jesuit Pope means. They don't understand that. And that is a very key thing. And if anybody knows what the history of the Jesuits is versus any other denomination within Catholicism, then they would start to understand what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So once
there's a lot going on, and our focus is so diverted that, as I said, we need a focus, because what we're doing right now is just a lot of activity with nothing being accomplished.
And one thing, you know, somebody criticized just now in the chat, we're talking about faith-based talk. I don't care nothing about what you think about whether it's faith-based or not. Either that is true or it's not true. But when you have somebody saying that this was going to happen and it did, you better kind of look at it a little bit closer to see whether what they're saying may be true. Now, there's a bunch of mess out there, I understand. I'm not going to try to switch that. But understand, Jimmy Carter brought Saddam Hussein to power after he went into Iran and blew that mission to get the hostages out, the rescue mission. That's when Saddam Hussein came to power. So we were backing Iraq ever since then. We invested in them. Can I move that, Alex?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry, don't finish that. I just think that you pinpoint where you want to start in history and not.
No, I'm telling you about right now.
Yeah, but
don't forget we had the Shah in Iran before, so we had Iran as our balancing point in the Middle East until he was overthrown.
We're talking about, you know, we're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I'm trying to fix the Titanic. You'd have to turn this thing around, and you're still rearranging chairs. Well, the whole purpose, the whole reason why we have these problems is because the United States won't mind its own business. This started back in 1953 when we overthrew Iran's democratic government. All because BP wanted their oil. We sent in our CIA.
That's stupid.
Oh,
that is
God.
Absolutely stupid, Alex. No, you needed to, you know why? No. You made a statement. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with that statement. Listen.
You just don't know.
Was it about oil? No. Was it about oil? You better believe it. But at the time, listen, Alex, hold it. Who had the second largest oil supply in the world at that time?
What does it matter?
It matters a whole lot because you're talking about balance of power.
Why does it matter? Why does it matter a whole lot?
Because this is why it matters. Iran had, at that time, was the second largest oil producer in the world.
Okay.
Who was the third largest?
Been Soviet Union?
No. Mm-hmm. Iraq was the third largest oil supply in the world at that time. Mm-hmm. Since then, it doesn't matter because they don't have anywhere near the oil that we have, that even Israel has, and even a certain other set of people have. But at that time, they were the number two and three oil producers. Now, Saddam Hussein gets mad at us and he wants to bite the hand that feeds us, tells us he's going to sell oil on the euro then, and he's in talks with Iraq. What does that tell you?
You just moved up 30 years. Let's go back to 1953 when they were a democratic government. They were not threatening to cut off the oil supply. It was just that at the time it was the Iranian Anglo-Saxon company at the time, but it was just BP. They wanted control of the oil. And that's why we went in and overthrew their government and installed a dictator in Iran when it was initially a democratic government in 1953. And so now, after we create all this aggression in Iran, then we want to prop up somebody else to fight them. And that's the reason why we got the, why the CIA...
Wait. When did you prop up somebody to fight them? When did you prop up somebody...
Saddam,
okay.
That was
And so, Saddam Hussein came. You talk about 1953, then you jump to 79.
No, what I'm telling you is that this is the reason for the United States investing, so to speak, in Saddam Hussein was to fight this regime, because over 20 years they had tried several coups, internal coups in Iran, to overthrow those governments, to get the, you know, in Iran, they didn't forget any of this. And so after all the time, you know, we abandoned the internal CIA thing because it wasn't working after 20, 30 years of that. And so we put our money behind another dictator, Saddam Hussein, to fight them. And so this is what I'm talking about, the entire picture. And so to act like the arguments that's put forth is just so – it's so embedded in just wickedness. It's just so wrong.
Well, that's the thing.
That's wrong because,
like you said, we're trying to be the police of the world, and the problem in the United States, we don't mind taking care of our own and just minding our own business, period.
If we would just mind
our own business, we would not have been in all that trouble, all that thing that
we're
doing.
Well, I'm sorry. You can't mind your own business.
Here's the thing. You know, I want to comment on that.
Go ahead.
And that's a real popular position to take. We mind our own business. America has always been isolationist in its overall view of how things ought to be. Two things changed that, World War I and World War II. You can't turn your back on what's happening in the rest of the world, or look what happens. And when at the time we were doing all of this in the Mideast, the alternative was the Soviet Union. And it just wasn't going in there and trying to tell the Mideast what to do. It was establishing American hegemony over a territory that would otherwise be go under the influence of the Soviet Union. The Cold War was a horrible, horrible thing. All of it's rooted in America, you know, being drawn into war twice, in World War II in particular.
Right.
And you know, it's there. And the Soviet Union's gone now, but and I think the issues are a little bit different, you know, because Russia, you know, is not the enemy it used to be, but it's certainly not our friend. We've got serious balance of power issues in the world. That's kind of what we're dealing with right now.
This is true.
Well, you know, it's almost like Pandora's box has been opened, and we can all agree that something needs to be done now. We don't have the ability to put it all. We can't go back. You know, I think we could all agree we can't go back. However this started, whatever the, the misguided decision making. We're at a point now where we need to problem solve, and we need to, and quickly, because we're depleting our wealth and we're losing lives. We look at this issue, and it's not just totally about oil. We have a situation of people who have had an ancient war among themselves, and we stepped into that, and I don't think that we fully figured that into the equation. But I think now we have to come together, you know, put all this behind us, and even, you know, in this hot group, we have to put behind us what led us to this, and we have to start thinking about how do we go from here?
Well,
where are we going to go from here?
I want to comment on what our friend Bill.
Do that, and then unlisted caller, you're going to be next, and cut out the noise in the background, please.
And we got a guy who's on Facebook and comments throughout the program, and this gentleman wrote me, while the Shah was placed with the help of the U.S. CIA, that's the Shah of Iran,
right,
the elected government from before was still the vestiges of World War II, of World War II government that was allied with Hitler's Germany.
They were called Iran.
It was extremely anti-Semitic, and it had a culture that wanted to rebuild the caliphate, and the CIA had to remove it. And that caliphate keeps coming back, whether it's Iran or whether it's Al-Qaeda, it's the same goal.
Mark, and don't forget that Iran means Aryan in Farsi, but go ahead.
All right, that's all.
That's an excellent point, and that is true. I'm not telling you the United States was clean in what they did. I'm telling you what happened and why.
we invested in these places, and we made agreements with those leaders. If those leaders decide to get too big for their britches, we're going to take them out. So if you know, whatever happened, whether it's wrong or right, you had to protect your interest, and that's what we did.
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. Well,
but
okay,
that makes a total difference. That makes a difference. It's wrong. It's wrong. Period. I don't care. It's wrong.
What?
Period.
Okay.
Because if China would have decided, if China could have the same thing as us, imagine China would have said, you know what, we don't like you, America. We're going to invade you and do the same thing. Because we feel that in our best interest, it's the best interest for us to invade you and do things like that. You would be the first one saying it's wrong. But when we do it to other country, it's perfectly right. That doesn't make sense.
No, that's not true at all. But,
that's not true.
You've made
if China tomorrow would decide to invade United States, you would be the first.
They
one
have
saying,
no reason
about,
to.
They
have no
reason to.
No,
they would
no,
have
no.
every reason to. They could have any
no,
reason that they
no,
feel
no.
politically.
They
yes,
have
they
no
yes,
reason. Okay, listen. No, they don't.
Yes,
they don't have
well,
a right.
What makes you
Can
think
I
that
say,
they don't have any reason?
Why would they?
You don't
they?
Know their history. You don't know what their interests are.
Oh, God.
Why?
Did they provide us military? Did they give us weapons? Did they give us anything but an agreement for us to borrow from them? No.
Okay. So,
they don't have
so,
a,
so,
they do not have
so
a,
tomorrow,
they,
so tomorrow.
That's not
so
what
tomorrow.
Happened in the, that's not what
okay.
happened in these other countries. We
so
came
China
into those countries.
Okay, so for if China tomorrow decide, you know what, we want to have economic war and we want to cut down you able to do products and things like that, they could do that if they want to.
Let them do it. Let them do it.
Then we're done.
No, you're not done. They'll
then,
be done because
done.
Guess what? No, they will be done because the
no,
only
no,
way
no,
they
no.
can
we
get us.
We would be done. We would be done before
I,
them.
Can
Trust
I finish? Can I finish? Once again, I'm going to tell you again. They would be done. Because they have to get their investment out of us. They're not going to do any such thing. So don't even worry about that.
Wow.
See, you have to understand.
You make it sound like America, without America, the rest of the world can't make it. Please.
No, I'm just telling you that we have been the biggest and baddest.
Yes,
and until
you have
now,
been the biggest and baddest, but don't trust, don't believe that
I'm have to cut
now.
You back, man. You keep cutting across me. I can't do that. Unlimited caller, you are in the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's also the most evil country also.
Say that again?
I said it's one of the most evil countries also, America.
You got some evil things being done.
I don't see how a person can be on God's side one day then go on the devil's side the next day.
Because
I mean,
it's an dichotomy.
That just shows how much of cowards we
I
are.
Can't. No, you have to understand that when you have a government and you have the people, you don't necessarily have good leadership in the government. Is that you, 978, trying to talk?
Yeah, it's South Carolina.
Oh, go ahead, Sal.
Yeah, Jeff, one of the things I have a hard time understanding.
No.
And is the fact
Hold
that
on, 239.
People are so shallow in their understanding of what happens in the world. We have a certain ideology here and a certain outlook on the way things should go in America. And overseas, there's a whole different animal. We do things in a diplomatic manner. They do not do not. No, we do not. Well, I'll put it this way: we do
That's
things,
a lot.
Okay?
That's
they do
a lot.
Something totally. They do it totally different. To them, it is totally acceptable to strap
who's
a bomb onto yourself and blow up your enemy. Let me finish. What I'm saying is this. When you're dealing with different entities, you have to deal with them in the way they understand it. If you have to go in and smack them upside the head to get their attention, then that's what you do. If you have
to be
diplomatic,
wow.
That's what you do.
You wasn't doing that.
Really?
You killed your women, your daughters, and your children. You weren't doing that. When they were sick and dying of your children, your wives, and your women.
Yeah,
and
you know
what, guys?
Hitler did nothing wrong. Hitler did nothing wrong, and I think the solution to everything here is just to kill all the Jews, basically. We've got to get rid of the Jews.
Wait, 239, is this you?
No,
is that
I'm
you?
Not 239.
You the unlisted caller?
No.
Where are you calling from?
Caller. I'm the unlisted caller.
What?
I'm,
is that you,
I politically believe that Hitler did nothing wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to agree with you on that. Hitler did absolutely wrong.
Why won't you agree with me on that?
What's your number?
Go look at the facts. Take a moment to stop nignogging. Stop being a jigaboo and look at the facts, and you'll see that Hitler did nothing wrong.
Where are you at, Doug? Okay, I found you.
I love Hitler. I think he's a really nice guy, you know, and
okay, I found you. Okay, now that I found you, I know where I can cut you off at will. Okay, now here's what I'll tell you. You can have that point of view because the world is free for thought. Let's dialogue. I really want to dialogue with you. If you're just going to come with a foolish, I'm going to slam you and call you a name and then hang up, then that's that. I don't want you. I'm going to shut you off because I'd like to talk to people like you. You still there? See, that's when he hang up now. See, yeah. That's a coward. He's saying crazy stuff. And slamming, yes.
That was some people talking there.
Two people trying to talk.
Hey,
go
Jeff,
ahead.
I just want to make two comments real quick. I mean, if you go back and look at a objective history of World War II, the war was over the first day before even America even entered the war. So we did not need to enter World War II. It was already over. Hitler was going to lose. The second thing, the arguments that you make against Iran and even Iraq, particularly Iraq, is the same arguments that the British made against the United States when we declared our independence. So just be mindful of that.
No, I mean, there's no such thing because Britain did not. See, here's the thing. The people came over here.
We were a colony of Britain at that time. They propped us up, gave us everything. And so,
they gave you something.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem. I think that you're not getting, I guess that maybe I'm not communicating well, is that I believe that every human being has natural rights. Okay, this comes back from natural rights written, evolved by John Locke in England, but every human being has natural rights, and what you're espousing is denying people their natural rights and their human rights, and that's
I'm
what
denying.
I
okay, I'm with you. I can work with that. I'm showing you, and then unlisted caller, you jump in because you're next, and then psychic Jethro, you'll be next. Okay, the what I'm trying to tell you is this. Is that when you have an agreement made with another country for its resources, for its development, or anything, you have a right and a stake in that country at that time. We're not talking about just we're not talking about just loaning money. We're talking about an agreement where we make you, we set you up and make you what you are. We have an agreement. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't. That doesn't just go for nothing. Now, when you turn on me and then you go against me and fight me economically to destroy me, I'm going to destroy you.
Nope.
I'm not going to allow you to
that.
Do that.
Nope.
You might
nope.
not
I don't
agree,
agree
with, that.
With that.
Unlisted caller, you are in the air. New unlisted? Hold on, let me try this then.
Did nothing wrong. Hey guys, I recently got disconnected. I think some kind of glitch in the system, but Hitler did nothing wrong, and it's a true fact.
He called back with an unlisted number, so okay.
Excuse me, hello. Why did you mute me? Hitler did nothing wrong, dude.
Go ahead.
And I also called in to express my love for my old friend Adam Lanza. He's a pretty cool guy.
Adam Lanza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Sandy Hook shooter.
The shooter. Well, I hope that happens.
No, that's not who Adam Lanza is. What are you talking about, dude?
Who is
crazy.
Adam Lanza?
That's my best friend.
What's different to him?
Oh. Yeah, it's a different guy. His name,
Sandy.
My friend's name
that's
is Adam
what I,
Lanza.
Oh, the fan. Okay,
hey,
well,
he's wasting my time.
He wasting my time. I just shut him off. Okay, Psychic Jethro, you're up.
What's going on?
You...
Not much. Fuck, man, that guy was, like, racist.
Okay, so we got two of them. Both of you are done. We're on terrestrial radio. We don't curse on this show.
Well, now, Jeff.
Wait a minute. Dee, go ahead.
What if we made it?
Yes, Trace.
Depart from Iraq and we make a civil conversation about what we're going to do with Japan. You figure we've put ourselves in a situation of defending Japan, and China is now making overtures of threats to Japan. What do you think we should do there? Because here, you know, I'm concerned because I think so many places people are relying upon America, and yet,
My comment is that that's a real problem over there because the current president has demonstrated weakness, and we're going to be tested all over the world for the next 3 years, and that's real dangerous.
Very dangerous.
That is my concern.
Well, you have a very good concern because this president has shown that he's more ready to defend gay rights across the globe than he is to defend the United States citizens, as in the rights, as in, you know, Benghazi, where your own guys get killed and you let the people sit on the beach for the next 7-8 months not doing a doggone thing about it.
Well, see, that's it. I think maybe we should just let Iraq's situation, you know, that can be another decision another time, but we have to focus on what challenges they're facing now.
True. All right, we're going to have to move. I'm going to try to get a couple of these other people off. We only have about 4 or 5 minutes. Psychic, go ahead and say something. I'm going to bring 647 in after that.
Yeah, I didn't know I was allowed to cuss. I'm sorry. But
yes, sir.
Back to the whole Iraq thing. I mean, like, everybody can look at it in different ways. But, I mean, no matter what you say, it's about oil.
Oh, it's definitely about oil. Please turn your radio down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was all about oil because they were going to use oil as a weapon against us economically.
Yes. But, I mean, like, other than that, all I want to say is fucking...
Okay, 647, you're in the air. Oh, Tracy!
Woo! Hitler did nothing wrong! Woo! Hitler did nothing...
Tracy!
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the last caller called me a jigaboo. I can't believe I heard that word. Sorry.
He called us all a jigaboo. Hey, Mark, you have now been called a jigaboo.
It is official.
Neither have I, Jeff.
You too, D.
Yeah.
You jigaboo. What the world? Go ahead, Tracy.
I'm sorry, you know.
Maybe he meant jelly bean.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I didn't have anything. I just had to throw that in there because I was listening and I said, huh? It's almost the top of the hour. So I'll wait until we come back so you guys can just go ahead and pick up the other call.
That's okay. We're about done, Trace. We got 2 minutes to go. So we'll be back here Monday. We're going to do this all over again. And Trace.
Hey, Jeff.
Make sure you leave the phone lines open because, you know, we can talk afterwards.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to leave the phone lines open. You want me to let the crazies in?
Oh, no.
No, don't let the crazies in. Be the crazy guy. We family all know.
Go ahead.
Listen, man, you know, one of the things that I've been up here fuming about, and I've been looking at it on Facebook and other some of the other news outlets, is what in the world are they trying to do to my military, man? I mean, they got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and now
let's do this Monday. Let's do that Monday. Okay, because
I'm concerned about that. I'm confused.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. When I saw that you can wear a beard turban or whatever
turban.
Oh, I was livid, and I mean livid.
Jeff,
yeah.
I'll just say this. I know how long it takes to don and clear a mask, and trust me, you won't be able to shave in that amount of time and get a good seal on your gas mask.
I know that's
the
right.
Post, man.
Okay, before I go, 212.
I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
Hold on. You can ask him in a second because I'm going to leave y'all up for about 15 minutes because I got to go. 330212?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave you open. Okay. Everybody else, my 626, I think that's the thing. I'm going to leave you up. We'll see you back on Monday afternoons. Tracy and Friends in the morning. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Listen to Tracy every weekday from
Monday. See ya.
600.
Monday.
Visit our website.
Hey,
you
guys. I love and respect
hello.
You all, and I value your opinions, and this is very good conversation. I think it's stimulating, and I think it's what we need. I think we need to exercise. We need to
exercise
our minds.
South Carolina. South Carolina, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
The turban is a religious thing, and that I understand.
You all right?
But the beard, I know it's a religious thing, but now, does that mean I can wear a beard even if it's not a part of my religion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you have a religion or if you're like a Hasidic Jew, then you have to. They have to let you wear a beard. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you're a Nazarite, you got to. They got to be able to let you grow your hair long.
But let me ask this: does that mean if a man just wants to wear a beard, he can just wear one? Or if my religion says that I don't wear pants,
you got it.
But I only wear dresses as a woman. Does that mean that I can wear dresses in combat?
Exactly. No matter what the uniform of the day is.
Is that why?
No matter. Yep. Now, years ago, when I was in the Marine Corps, you could get, because of a condition called pseudofolliculitis that causes ingrown hairs and it causes your face to get inflamed, you could get a shaving kit. So you wouldn't have to shave. But that all went away when they discovered magic shave. So you have to be clean shaven, you know. But now that's all out the window. That just throws military discipline, you know, to the wind. You can do whatever you want to now. All you got to do is stay in your head.
It also will make it hard to identify people. You know, from the the dignity and the honor, it's going to be problematic for identification of people.
Yes, it'll make them a target too, I think. It'll make them a target too, I think. Especially if they're fighting in the Middle East, you'd be the worst kind of traitor.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
but that's what they're shooting for. I don't understand. It makes no sense. But here's the other side of that. Here's the other side of that. I could see it if you were a draftee, but you're a volunteer. You are a volunteer. What they've done is effectively shredded the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice. Those rules do not apply anymore. So I don't know what's going to happen. They have such a disdain for the military that they just want to just do whatever they want to it. And it doesn't make any sense.
And they make it into a joke.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
can you see where if they refuse to take someone, they would bring a suit and say, you have to take me, and then you think what kind of a soldier are you going to be if you had to fight your way in and you're angry. You know that you're not going to honor your superiors and you're not going to be a good soldier if you come in with that kind of a, an agenda.
Oh, yeah.
I think they should be able to refuse them. They can say, we can't protect you, maybe under that type of a condition, say we're not going to be able to protect you from, from risk or from disease or whatever if you don't comply with our standards for hygiene, and that might be a way out.
And that could be a way out, but then the military will be facing a lawsuit saying that you discriminate against certain religions. You know, it's going to cut both ways on the military. So I just don't. I just They want us to go kill, they just want us to do it, then die. Go away. They just want us to go away. You know?
You know, you have to question the motive of people. What is their motivation? You know, I you would hope that a person who signs up to protect, you know, their country, you know, would be willing to forego some of the privilege that they would have. I mean, reasonably, some of the privilege that they would have as a citizen, they're going to forego because now they're becoming identified as a soldier. It just doesn't seem reasonable. You figure you have to make concessions in a lot of areas of your life when you go into the military.
Well, you know, it's when you get off the bus at Parris Island or at San Diego, get off the plane at San Diego, and you go stand on those yellow footprints. As long as you're on the other side of those yellow footprints, you're a civilian. But as soon as you step over to those yellow footprints, you're a Marine recruit, and life as you know it has come to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
I mean, you signed up for this. Nobody forced you.
You know what I think the U.S. Army is battling with? I think it's battling with. America is supposed to be a free country, and our military is supposed to also be a free army. And the way the country was set up, it was supposed to be such that anybody could fight, and they didn't have to necessarily conform to any kind of standard, because the army is supposed to be made up of free persons. So I think that there's this thing that the military is really battling with. We're trying to leverage a free society and have a strong military at the same time, but you know, the government thinks that they're supposed to have control over everything. And so, you know, they can't, they don't want to give up control. And so, you know, you deal with these things.
I don't know what would be next, though. Say that next they say, because of my religion, I'm not willing to salute you or stand at attention because this is, you know, like you're standing in place of, as an authority, you're challenging my my respect and honor of God. So as I see it, you know, I won't give you that. That respect for homage.
That's for homage.
I mean, there's a lot of things that could be used as issues, and this could be the start of just an overall deterioration in the discipline and the code of, you know, conduct. And you figure if you let it erode so far, what's the sense? I mean, I think they have to make a stand.
Yeah, they're going to have to, because what's happened is we've got a lot of you know, long-term generals who have been in there for years and years. They're retiring. I mean, there's like 38 of them in the past, you know, 2.5 years that have just retired.
I wonder if many of them were forced out.
Yeah. Well, you know, retirement is another word for, you know. You can find something better to do. You know, General Mad, well, they call him Mad Dog Mattis, but he was a Marine Corps general, and he was such that he didn't mind, you know, speaking his mind and letting people know. You know, he was a hardcore Marine. I mean, he was one of those guys that, you know, say that the Marine Corps is, you have no greater, you know, no better enemy, or no greater enemy, but no better friend, you know.
But does it seem like today our military doesn't go in to win? It's almost like we're content to have a tie, or we're content to, you know, I call it for the day, and, you know, like, well, we'll meet again, you know. It just seems like, you know, we don't go out for that all-out, you know, aggressive battle. So, you know, if we're not going to be determined we're going to let a lot of these considerations come in to appease individuals. If we're appeasing our enemy, why wouldn't we be appeasing our own? I mean, it just, I just think it weakens the whole military.
Oh, yeah. It does. It kills the morale, too. I mean, you've got guys that, you know, I mean, you see your buddy get shot or whatever, and the rules of engagement are such that, you know, you can't even fight back. You can't even shoot back. You can't go and do a seek and destroy or search and destroy mission when you know where the enemy wants, because of the rules of engagement, you do not pursue this enemy anymore. And it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And there's nothing worth saying that they can do the morale. You know, because you got guys out there, you know, and officers that are willing to, you know, to do the right thing, and they're just as frustrated as the enlisted. But, you know, the orders come from way above my pay grade. So, but, you know, when civilians try to fight wars, you run into problems. You know, so Marines are made to kill people and break things, and when you try to get us to do anything else, it kind of, you know, causes problems.
Well, I want to thank you for your service to our country.
Yeah, well,
I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure to serve.
Hey, South Carolina, I'm kidding.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the law that they're trying to enforce in California now about that firearms have to micro stamp the bullets?
Yeah.
Smith and Wesson came out to say that they're not selling any new firearms in the state of California because of that law.
Dude, who in their right mind would do that?
Well,
I mean,
it was signed into law in 2007 by Arnold. Yep, the Terminator, the governor signed it into law in 2007, but there was a stipulation in the law that said that it had to await for the technology to become viable. And
right,
they're saying that it became viable in May 2013, last year. So
oh, really?
now they're trying to enforce it now. Because
so now, do you know how much a box of 38 rounds would cost?
Done.
Micro stamp.
Yeah. Thank you.
That would be crazy.
I'm talking to you.
$100 probably.
It's switched back. he did it on his end.
Okay. So how do I know that next month on 21 is not going
to? Because I'll go back and check it today just to verify. And you can check it too.
All right. I'm going to bow out, gentlemen. God bless you. Have a good day.
Raiders.com. Raiders.
Bye-bye
now. That's it. I mean, it's the same. It's like when you logged on.
Oh, okay.